healthcare provider about influenza immunization. Get immunized. Vaccination is a safe and effective way to prevent influenza. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza isn't the common cold. It's serious.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Influenza can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is from 6 months up to 5 years of age, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. Dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are too.
Are you talking to me?
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 Yes, we're talking to you. Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
You've probably seen the stories in the news about disreputable credit counseling agencies, and that's why you need to know the NFCC difference. I'm Susan Keating with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. NFCC agencies are accredited and have certified counselors. They are nonprofit and community governed with a real stake in helping you. Knowing the NFCC difference can make all the difference, so call today. 1-800-388-2227 or visit nfcc.org.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about, George Bush just committed sending tens of thousands of our babies back over to Iraq. Democrats have said that they're going to closely scrutinize the Republicans. Some Republicans are uncomfortable with it as well. My question is what power does Congress have to stop any of it? We're going to be talking about that in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Akbar Muhammad. We're going to be talking about the shootings that are going on in our community. And in just a few minutes, we are going to be talking to Senator Maida Coleman about what's going on in Jefferson City. The board of commission, the Education Commission, met yesterday. We're going to talk about all of that. Where? Right here on Riveting Radio. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word they say. Whatever.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We need to get up. You need to get to me. Because, oh my goodness, we have stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm looking at a copy of something that I don't really do because, it's just messed up and unreliable and untruthful and dishonest and all of that and so much more. All of that and so much more. Huh. We are being told in the Post-Dispatch, and I'm going to read you the headline. I'm going to read you the headline in the Post-Dispatch. It says that the headline in the Post says that intervention, virtually a done deal in the city of St. Louis. Let me read that again. Intervention is virtually a done deal for the city of St. Louis, for the city of St. Louis, huh? Intervention is virtually a done deal. So, what does that mean? What does that mean? And why does it say it like that? Huh? It says it like that because the Post-Dispatch, how do I put this? The Post-Dispatch gets it wrong every time they print a single piece of ink. They get it wrong. Okay? State intervention. Intervention is virtually a done deal. Also quoted in the paper is Senate Minority Leader Maida Coleman. And there's a quote in the Post-Dispatch that says, "This train is moving very fast down the track. We need to move past what has already happened and move forward towards a future that takes care of these children." Now, this is what it says on the online version of this article. I read the print version of this article, and it quoted Senator Maida Coleman as saying, "There is nothing that we can do to stop what is happening." So I called Senator Coleman, and Senator Coleman is in the studio with me this morning to talk about this. Good morning, Maida.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
Certainly. When I looked at that, it's interesting to me, Maida. Remember what I read to you last night?
Mm-hmm.
And this is not what it says on the online version.
And that's interesting because I told you, I know my conversation that I had, and I certainly don't think everything is hopeless, and so I haven't had a chance to see what was online or this before arriving this morning. So, again, we go back to they write what they want to write.
Absolutely, and most people do not see the online version. Most people see the print version. And I one of the things I want to talk about, Maida, is this commission. Talk to us about the State Education Commission. What is that, and what power and authority do they have?
Okay. The State Education Commission is made up, I believe, of 6 or 8 members from across the state of Missouri. It's presently chaired by a man from Springfield, Missouri, actually Branson, who owns Silver Dollar City, named Peter Hershen.
Okay.
He certainly is a huge proponent of vouchers, and is the type of guy that has been able to generate a lot of power in that position as state education board president. This is the same committee that yesterday swore in a man from Kansas City, Missouri, whose last name is Archer, that has not been up for Senate confirmation yet. That we have some concerns about where he is in public education.
Who nominated him?
He actually was, of course, nominated by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
His senator has been talking to people up in Kansas City. His senator is Yvonne Wilson. And this is a similar situation to what was just going on here.
So she has not recommended him yet?
As far as I know, she hasn't.
Okay.
He has not been sponsored by her,
okay,
and has not been up for Senate confirmation.
So he was at the, but he was at the board?
He was sworn in yesterday morning.
Well, how could he be sworn in if he hasn't been nominated?
Quite often, during the interim, usually,
uh-huh,
the governor appoints people to boards. And even in this situation here in St. Louis, Dunya Whitmore Smith had been to a state education board meeting.
Had she been sworn in, though?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's a preliminary thing, and it's based on what your senator decides to do.
Okay.
He evidently is not getting as much pushback as Dunya Whitmore Smith got
yet. Okay.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know anything about him.
Right.
And do we know that he's a Democrat?
We don't know.
Okay. Do we know what his position is on vouchers?
We know that he has had some interest in vouchers.
Okay. Do we know what his position is on charter schools?
He says that he's, from what I understand from his senator, that he is supportive of public education, certainly understands the importance, he says, of charter schools.
Is he white or black?
He's black.
Okay. And does anybody from Kansas, does the senator know anybody that knows this man?
She says she's been talking to a lot of people about him.
Okay.
And so we're, you know, depending on her to bring forth as much information as possible about
his
appointment.
And what is his name again?
It's Archer.
Okay.
And I can't recall his first name, but anybody who was up in Jefferson City yesterday might have been able to pick up the name at the state board meeting.
Okay.
Now, I left before he started talking, but people tell me that he asked a lot of really good questions that didn't just center around commas and crossing T's. I believe he's a minister up in Kansas City.
Okay.
But this school board, state education board, is responsible for overseeing public education. And that's why there was such an issue here in St. Louis with the promotion of a pro-voucher, pro-charter school person that was being put on that board. This State Board of Education makes the decisions and makes recommendations and will vote on and make a recommendation about St. Louis Public School and all public schools. And I'm concerned a lot about this situation, of course. And I was there yesterday morning, was able to talk to each of the school board members, to Diana Borisaw, too many people in Local 420.
And also, I just want to paint the picture. There were over 200 people that showed up at this commission
there
meeting.
There were an amazing number of people. And, of course, it's not often that I see this, but you can always tell when the black folks are coming to town,
mm-hmm,
because the police are always in the room.
Mm. Mm.
And so it kind of throws me.
And there's also one more thing, if I can just point out this contrast, because in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you don't see any mention of 200 people showing up at this event, either in the online edition or on the regular edition. But how many hundreds of people showed up in support of,
mm-hmm,
this three-person panel?
It busloads. The place was packed.
No, in support.
In support. I have no idea how many were there in support.
Here's what I know, that when those 200 people left the room, there was nobody else sitting in the room.
I'm not surprised.
Okay, so there weren't 100 people up,
mm-hmm,
there in support of,
mm-mm,
this thing, which gets us to this place of what is representative of what people want in the city of St. Louis who live in the school district.
I got a kick out of it just driving over this morning. Somebody called me on the way and said, I just heard on the radio that nobody came to the defense of the St. Louis Public Schools yesterday. And
huh?
I thought that was interesting. It's not like St. Louis Public School people and the parents that were there were given a chance to come to the microphone and defend St. Louis Public Schools.
So they heard on the radio that nobody, but there were over 200
mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm,
that drove up in the middle of a work day.
That's right.
To come up there and show their opposition to that. That just shows you what story that the media,
that's right,
is telling about what's going on here on the ground.
No one came in defense, it said, and I thought, well, you only paint half the picture. You don't bother to say.
That's
nobody,
a lie. That's really a lie.
Yeah,
I mean,
nobody was allowed to come to,
right,
the microphone.
Right.
No, and it doesn't say, I'm sure that from what my girlfriend mentioned, that nobody on the school board talked about anything. And pro or con, they got this report from
Right.
Kent King, the commissioner.
But I was talking to a number of the school board members yesterday about this coming down, and I consider this, Maida, I consider this a win. I consider this a big win because there was, I think that there was as much pressure as Francis Slay could bring to bear. There was much pressure as Matt Blunt could bring to bear to have this into a done deal yesterday. This should have been, by all accounts, a done deal. The vote should have been taken, the decision should have been made, and we should be talking about how we're going to stop it. It's a big deal that they didn't vote.
Absolutely.
And say yes on this.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to the Senate Minority Leader, Senator Maida Coleman. We're talking about what happened up in Jefferson City with our schools. You don't want to miss any more of this riveting radio conversation. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. There's an accident at Riverview southbound at Chambers, northbound 270 at 44 in Big Bend. Look for traffic building eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for delays there as well. Southbound 55 at Gasconade and 4500 South Broadway. Look for a disabled vehicle. It's at 4500 South Broadway. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street in the PSB. Look for traffic to be building as you're rolling into downtown. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill through the 270-255 interchange. Look for some delays there. There's an accident at Natural Bridge and Cypress. Eastbound 70 rolling into the 270 interchange looks good. Northbound 270 at 44. You can expect some delays. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the downtown area at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Periods of rain today, high in the lower 50s this evening. Rain and freezing rain possible. Low around 30 for Saturday. Rain and freezing rain throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s. And then on Sunday, 40% chance of rain in the day. 60 at night with a high in the lower 40s. Currently we have 55 degrees under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in this 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Grace.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This morning we're talking about education, we're talking about education, we're talking about education and the state of it and what is at the state of it. Of it. My guest this hour is Senate Minority Leader Maida Coleman. We're talking about the decision that happened in Jefferson City yesterday and the stories that are being told about the decision that happened in Jefferson City yesterday. Senator Coleman, let's talk about your quote in the paper. It says, it looks like it's going to happen and nobody can stop it. That's what it says that you said. That no, actually, it does say that in the internet section of it. It looks like it's going to happen, and nobody can stop it. First of all, did you say that?
No way. There's a lot of ways to stop everything that happens in Jefferson City. I will admit that I said this train is moving very fast down the track. We need to move past what has already happened and move toward a future that takes care of these children. There's two perspectives I see to this in my role as a legislator. One, as a public official who had been elected by the citizens in the city of St. Louis and someone who's been an advocate for elections for years, I understand the importance of voting and don't want anything to happen to take local control away from this school board, and I don't want to disenfranchise voters who knock themselves out to go to the polls to work toward electing people.
And if I could just interject for a second, we know that when Francis Lay got his majority in, that was a vote of the people. Okay?
Yes, it was.
And every election since then, the voters have said no to Francis Lay and his slate. That's the vote of the people.
One of the things that happened after this hearing yesterday is about 25 of those who came to Jefferson City came to my office.
And about out of 200 people that
yes.
came up there.
And, you know, we were crowded in like sardines, but one of the things that Jesse Todd said, who's the committee man of the 18th Ward, he talked about how it was brought up at the meeting that only 12% of St. Louisans came out to vote for this school board, yet only 11% showed up to vote for Francis Lay when he was last elected. And so, you know, they want to paint a picture that 12% is such an awful thing when we had a citywide mayoral race where even less people
And 12% means that people aren't interested in this vote and therefore are interested in these jobs of people as members of the school board, and therefore, because only 12% of the people voted, therefore it's okay if we get rid of these elected positions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's the case, then let's get rid of mayor and have the governor appoint a 3-person party to be the mayor of the city of St. Louis, because 11% of the people came out and voted for him. And 30,000 of those people voted for Irene J. Smith.
This is true. Yes, it is.
You know, so if that's the logic, then let's follow it to its natural conclusion.
But you can see just based on that statement alone that everything was very slanted. And that's what you said last night when we were talking and you read this article to me. The other side of this I see is this. If you had Kent King, who is the Commissioner of Education, doing nothing but bringing out what was considered bad parts of this 3-member advisory board report didn't talk about the positives and the things that this report said, then obviously you see the writing on the wall and the way it's been painted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than a campaign for office, just like we saw with the Claire McCaskill campaign for Senate. They're always going to paint their enemy in the worst light necessary.
The Republicans are going to paint the Democrats in a certain way.
That's right. And that's exactly what I saw yesterday here. Now, between Donna Jones being there, Peter Downs being there, Bill Purdy was there, Mary Armstrong was there, Diana Boris saw hundreds of people that came up on the
that
bus.
That is huge. There haven't been that many people in Jefferson City on education since the last time that we took up 300 people to talk to the same man, Kent King,
mm-hmm.
to tell him, do not give a waiver to Bill Roberti because this is what will happen to our district if you give a waiver to
That's
him.
That's right.
And he gave the waiver to Bill Roberti.
He gave the waiver away, and we went from roughly 64 points toward accreditation. Two points away. Down to 39 points, and an obviously attempt to dismantle the school district.
And can I just interject mm-hmm. for a second here, Maida, because again, this is such an important thing. I want to try to underscore this again. It's clear what Kent King wants to do. He wants
yes.
to do what Francis Lay wants. He wants to do what Matt Blunt wants to do. It's clear. However, they were unable to do it yesterday.
No, it
didn't
happen.
That's a big deal that they weren't unable to do it yesterday.
And I tell you what's going to need to happen, because the State Board of Education meets again in a month. And I believe that that's when they're really going to try to drop the hammer down
mm-hmm.
on what's going on here. So we need to do a couple things. One, continue to make sure that folks understand where we're coming from. I have a meeting this coming Tuesday with Kent King. He and the President Pro Tem of the Senate and I are meeting to talk about what this means, what happened yesterday, and obviously talk about where Kent King is
mm-hmm.
because I'm particularly disturbed in his direction he took yesterday. The majority leader is interested in what this means as far as legislation. But people need to understand there's nothing we can do in 30 days legislative-wise relative to the St. Louis Public Schools. We just don't move that fast.
Mm-hmm.
I just appointed committee members this past Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even had our very first committee meeting. So the legislature isn't in a position right now to do anything pro or con for this.
And also, when we think about the type of legislation that they would be asking for, Maida, they're going to elected officials, and they're asking them to nullify the votes
mm-hmm.
of citizens. What kind of legislator is really going to sign on to the nullifying of votes? And also, this means that it could come to your hometown too. Why couldn't it come to Kansas City that we don't like how you're running your school district? We're going to take away the votes of your voters as well and appoint our own people. We're going to go to outstate because your schools are failing out there too.
Absolutely.
We're going to take away the power of your people too. That's what this means, isn't
right.
it?
Absolutely.
And can this stand legislatively? How can the state legislature take away, nullify votes of citizens in the city of St. Louis?
I'm already there. I am already on that. I got in touch with Kent King on Tuesday by correspondence and pointed out the 12 failing school districts. And I wanted to know, why is it that St. Louis City Public Schools, who's performing at a level that there are 11 other school districts, 12 other school districts that are performing at or below the level of St. Louis Public Schools is. One is even unaccredited.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to Kent King and the reason for our meeting on Tuesday is to discuss why is St. Louis being singled out when you have schools across the state that are in worse condition than the city of St. Louis.
And shouldn't there also be the question made of, there has to be a process that Kent King has in his office.
And the process cannot be to skip willy-nilly from each school district to go cherry-pick the district that you want, and we're going to go after this district. And also, the other part of the process of this, St. Louis Public Schools MEDA is not even up for a full accreditation
right.
review.
Absolutely.
And in order for the state to take over Wellston School District, they waited till Wellston was up for full accreditation. It did not have full accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gave it another year to
right.
try to fix its thing, and then they made a decision. We're 2 years away from being up for
two
a full
years.
Accreditation. So what is the process in that, and how could it possibly be that Kent King is following the process? What is the rush today that cannot be dealt with a month from now,
well,
2 months from now?
I'll tell you the rush. The rush is that many of those who are opponents of the St. Louis Public Schools, opponents of this school board, feel that they've picked up momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten support from people on that school board, Peter Hershen, who we mentioned earlier, the director, the chairman of the committee. They've gotten support from this city's administration, from our mayor's office. They've gotten support, obviously, from the proponents of vouchers,
mm-hmm.
Charter schools, and they feel that this is a chance to ram it through.
Well, it also doesn't help that you have Veronica O'Brien running up there, bringing tapes of in-session meetings and playing tapes to people and acting like acting completely contrary to the people who voted her into office. Nobody voted for her to come in and say, let the state take over the district. You're shaking your head. Okay, you know, you're shaking your head. We got to continue this conversation. We're going to take a break here. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking about the state of education here in the city of St. Louis. What happened yesterday up in Jefferson City, Riveting Radio. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hometown sale going on right now at Sears. Check this out. There's a lawn and garden closeout event. All kinds of tractors, all kinds of chainsaws, all kinds of tools, all kinds of things that you need to make your lawn and garden really wonderful for the spring. Get it now at the hometown sale that's going on at your Sears at 3425 Union. It's a great sale. You need to get down there. You need to take advantage of it. This sale comes once a year, the hometown sale at your hometown Sears at 3425 Union. Get down there, take advantage of it, and tell them I told you to.
This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
And we'd like to invite you to join us on the Design Life every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
We hope you'll join us as we talk about designing your life to achieve success and fulfillment.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Fight for you. They come on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. Riveting, riveting, riveting radio. We're talking about what happened in Jefferson City yesterday with the schools, with the St. Louis public schools. And Maida, I just want to ask you this. Do you think what is happening, one of the energies that's pushing Francis Lay and pushing Matt Blunt up there in Jefferson City for the ownership of this board is what's happening across the country with public schools? It's like, okay, God, we can't do any more end runs. We don't do that. We haven't done those very well. We can't do more world comps. Where's their money and where's their easy money to get at? Huh, public schools. It's this big billion dollar money pot sitting out there, and private industry is trying to get into that because it's easy money.
There's a lot of contracts to be let. There is an ability sometimes to put a lot of influence and pressure on school board members.
Mm-hmm.
Here along in St. Louis, of course, we've talked about contracts with Sodexo and mm-hmm. all privatizing.
Multi-million dollar contract. That's what happened when Francis Lay took over the board. You had all these private companies coming in, wiping out. Francis Lay said out his mouth, I will never forget it because I've never heard any elected official anywhere in America ever say anything as contrary to being an elected official as he said. When his board took over and they appointed Bill Roberti and 1,500 people lost their jobs, Francis Lay said, when 1,500 people lost their jobs in the city of St. Louis, he said, it's a great day for the city of St. Louis. What elected official has ever said that the loss of jobs in their city is a great day? Who's ever said that?
I guess somebody who didn't need those 1,500 votes.
Nobody says that, Maida. Come on, no elected official says that the loss of jobs in their district is a great thing.
Well, I heard Republicans saying this week in Jefferson City, I heard a Republican say at a press conference that we are a smaller operating machine, that we've taken away 5,000 jobs, and that's 5,000 less people that's on the taxpayers' rolls.
I was at the swearing in, and they said that in their speech.
And this was... And all I can say about that is that a Republican was bragging about 5,000 people losing their state jobs. So you figure out what kind of person brags about 1,500 jobs.
Losing that kind of job. And then they also talked about, and we have all these people that are now spending more money on the lottery. And some woman that was there said, yeah, they're buying lottery tickets because they don't have jobs and they're hoping for, you know, that they're going to get, that's how they're going to make their money.
That's right. That's unfortunate.
Let me get to a couple of callers here. Caller.
The truth will always set you free. I've always told you that during the years, Ms. Brown. It's an honor to talk to you, Senator Maida Coleman.
Good morning.
Maida Coleman, will you please tell Ken King that the voters have spoken and we got this train back on the right track after the Roberti fiasco? Would you let King King know, Mrs. Coleman,
absolutely,
that we're going to go to the polls in March and get rid of Archibald and Jackson because they didn't get their way? They are the problem, and we will have Veronica taken care of. The gavel will come out of her hand in June. Have a nice day, Ms. Coleman.
Thank you. And I'd like to say about that, you know, part of the rush on this from the opposition is that we've got elections up in a couple of months.
That's right.
And they're afraid of what's going to happen.
They know
they
what's
see the writing
happen
on the wall.
Because we know that Ron Jackson and Bob Archibald are too scared to run because they don't want the embarrassment of the final piece of Francis Slay's board being kicked out. Francis Slay spent millions of dollars on the last election to get Jim Buford elected, to get the other school board member elected, Darnetta Klingstell elected. They spent millions of dollars and 12,000 people turned out to, or no, 12% of the voters turned out to vote, and they said no despite millions of dollars being spent mm-hmm. to put them in there. So they know they can't buy their way by the voters, and they had a wonderful team to put together wonderful slick spots. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. So they know they can't win that way, so now they're going to do kind of like with the stadium, go around the vote of the citizens and have our way anyway. But
that's
still, they didn't win. They didn't get what they wanted done yesterday.
That's right. That's right.
Let me get to some other callers here. Christine.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry I didn't call about the subject, but I just called to wish you a healthy and prosperous new year and to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And to tell you your present is going to be a little late, but it's coming.
All right, Christine. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. Donna Jones?
Yes, good morning to both of you ladies.
Good morning, Donna.
It was good to see you yesterday.
It was great to see you there. I'm so glad you were there to support us.
Thank you, Donna.
I'd like to say there was something that I heard through Kent King's conversation. I understood some of the urgency that was going on. He was really worried about St. Louis County, the inter-district transfer program
continuing on. Donna, we're going to have you call back on another line because we have some really bad static. So call back, okay, because
okay.
The line is really kind of static.
Great.
1-877-920-WGNU. Brother Matt.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Outstanding.
Did you read the email I sent about the getting the state's attorney general involved?
About voter nullification?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was wondering what the senator has to say about the possibility of investigating the whole conspiratorial aspect in reference to voter nullification, and if there may be some type of criminal or some kind of action that can be taken against these.
Okay, thanks for
your
question.
Thanks. Well, Liz Brown is the attorney here, not I, but certainly that is a perspective that has been brought to my attention, and we talked about it a lot with people in Jefferson City this week, knowing that this State Board of Education meeting was coming. I am happy to work toward finding out the answers to that and finding out from a legal perspective what grounds we have to stand on. I need to remind you, however, that, you know, we've got this DSEC case going on, and part of the problems that we have in the city of St. Louis is that we've not received money that should have been coming to us. It's a lawsuit that's being held up in Jefferson City.
How about this? Let me just do a conspiracy type of a theory here. There's a lawsuit against the state of Missouri for all of this DSEC money.
Mm-hmm.
When Francis Slay and his majority were on the board, they did not pursue this lawsuit. So if there's a three-person board on there, they could also say, you know what, we're going to give up on that lawsuit. We're not going to pursue that lawsuit and try to get that money. We're talking about
tens of millions of dollars.
So conspiracy, think about that. Could that be a possibility, too? Because the lawsuit is only instated right now because Francis Slay's people are not in control of this board.
Mm-hmm. And you will hear people say that the problems that are going on and the reasons that the State Board of Education can go to a vote on this school district right now is because we fall up under different statute because of the desegregation case.
But the desegregation case is done in, I think, in a year.
That's another reason the rush.
There's another reason for the rush, because the DSEG thing is done, and so we go back to the regular rules
mm-hmm.
in a year.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for the reason, the coal in the furnace of this, those are the reasons. But still, there has to be legislative actions to make this happen. Let me ask you this question real quick, and we'll get to Donna Jones. If the commission votes next month to do this three-person board, what happens next? Does it immediately take effect, or does there have to be legislation? Well, I know lawsuits are going to be filed, so it cannot immediately take effect, can it?
I don't know how quickly it could take effect. I don't believe it could take effect immediately, but that's why I also want to be on the other side of this train, steering that train
towards the lawsuits,
controlling what's going on, because we still, I welcome lawsuits that have anything to do with taking away the vote of the people of the city of St. Louis.
Okay, against that. Donna Jones, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make the point that he kept talking about the transfer program, and we know that thousands of children will be coming back to the St. Louis school district, and I'm sure that they don't want to lose that money that they were using to build up their schools and their libraries. We need that money back here in the city of St. Louis. It was a terrible...
Well, what's going to stop that? But if that's the concern, Donna, the thousands of children, what's going to stop that from happening if there's a three-person board or if there's a regular school board controlling it? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. But I think you made a hit the point. You were right on point when you talked about... the desegregation case.
That's right. That's tens of millions of dollars that they said they will say, you know
what,
we ain't going to pursue that. We're not going to pursue that at all.
That's it.
Okay, Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We are going to extend this for a little bit longer, this issue of our school. So stay on the lines, folks. I'm having a conversation with the minority leader for the Senate, Senator Maida Coleman. Stay with us.
I will never say the progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that, the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It has been a long time since a U.S. target, a major one, was attacked in Greece. That is, until today, someone fired a rocket at the U.S. Embassy in Athens. More from ABC's Nick Wong.
U.S. embassies are still, of course, at most risk from Islamic militants, but Greek police fear that this morning's attack could be the resurgence of left-wing terror that they hope they've crushed with a wave of arrests before the Athens Olympics in 2004.
As far as the American ambassador, Charles Reese, is concerned, it's too dangerous to keep the place open
now. It is my intention for the embassy to open as soon as possible. For the moment, though, because it is a crime scene, we won't be opening for normal business. And for this and for the traffic disruption, I very much apologize.
There were no injuries, although the compound was damaged. It's back to the Hill today for Defense Secretary Robert Gates. He'll be answering questions from the Senate Armed Services Committee about President Bush's plans to send thousands of additional troops to Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House says he was grilled yesterday on Capitol Hill as well, President Bush insisting his generals feel additional troops will indeed make the winning difference. But the new Secretary of Defense had a little trouble explaining to Congress just how long those troops could be there. He said it could be weeks, could be months. He says he can't make that call at this point. Well, it has been said that you get what you pay for. LA Galaxy owner Alexi Lawless sure hopes that is the case where David Beckham is concerned. He signed the British pro soccer star, who, by the way, is also known in some circles as Mr. Posh Spice, to $250 million in salary and endorsement.
This is obviously a wonderful day for the Galaxy and you know, really a watershed moment for the sport in the United States. And as far as we're concerned, money well spent.
Yeah, money well spent indeed, especially if they win a lot with Beckham. This is ABC News.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking Silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Five.
Things are sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with Silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-550-2238. Call 1-800-550-2238 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-550-2238.
The Dow will open later today at a record high, 12,514. A neighborhood in Tucson, Arizona is getting some visitors, a lot of little white rats, and these guys apparently like to swim. Who knew? ABC's Brett Farrell does now.
Some residents next to the University of Arizona campus in Tucson are finding small white rats swimming in their toilets. The rats apparently hold their breath, swimming from the main sewer line up the small pipes flowing from homes. The local wastewater treatment department doesn't know where the rodents come from, but recommends flushing to keep them away. Brad Farrell, ABC News.
If you have a child headed to college someday, you better start saving now. The price of tuition is skyrocketing, not just at private schools. It's up 35% for in-state students who want to go to public universities. Congress votes next week on a plan to reduce the cost of student loans, but many experts say that's really not going to do much at all unless they can somehow slow the rising cost of college itself. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, new evidence has cleared a Washington Park man in the death of a New Baden woman. 34-year-old Walter Jennings left the St. Clair County Jail on Wednesday after prosecutors dismissed one count of first-degree murder in the death of 24-year-old Allison Stahl. Jennings insisted that he had never met Stahl or even heard of her. An Illinois State Police lieutenant said that some fresh evidence cleared Jennings in the slaying, but said they did anticipate further arrests. Controversy has erupted over a Farmington student wearing a shirt with a Confederate flag on it. Bryce Archambault was suspended from school for a day last September when he disobeyed a direct order from a high school administrator to either take off the shirt or turn it inside out. The Archambault family and some of Bryce's friends are staging a protest over the incident. The family hired their own attorney and filed a lawsuit against the school district. The district's lawyer insists that school administrators never suspended Bryce and only asked him to turn the shirt inside out. The Chihuly exhibit at the Missouri Botanical Gardens is coming down. The last day for the exhibition of hand-blown glass sculptures was yesterday. The exhibit helped restore the image of the gardens after years of sagging attendance. The sculptures even withstood the harsh storms that hit the area in the past year. Another exhibit is on the way. The Chapungo stone sculpture from Zimbabwe will arrive at the gardens later this month. Finally this hour, Cardinal center fielder Jim Edmonds had surgery on his left foot last Friday. Edmonds signed a 2-year extension with the Redbirds in November and is also recovering from arthroscopic shoulder surgery. Team medical supervisor Dr. George Paletta said that the surgeries would keep Edmonds out of Grapefruit League action until at least the later stages of spring training. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound Riverview at Chambers, there's a report of an accident. It's right around Hall Street. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270 at 44 through Big Bend. You've got some delays going on in that area. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. It is slow. Traffic's building at 44 eastbound from Soccer Park to 270 Exchange there. Northbound Route 3, that approach onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got some delays on that ramp. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant Avenue, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Gravel Pit and Cleve Landing, you can expect some delays. There's an accident at National Bridge in Cypress. And Highway 40 eastbound at Spady through McKnight, you've got some delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic for this 7 o'clock hour. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Periods of rain, high in the lower 50s this evening. Rain and possible freezing rain is expected with a low around 30. Moving into Saturday, rain and freezing rain throughout the day with a high only in the upper 30s. Then back to Sunday, there's a chance of rain throughout the entire day with a high in the lower 40s. Currently we have 55 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 55 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. It's Riveting Talk Radio. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and we're continuing our conversation because education is so important, because education is so crucial, because there are tens of millions of dollars at stake, there are thousands of children's lives at stake, there are thousands of children's, hundreds of thousands of people's family lives at stake, families that have not been formed yet, babies that have not been born yet, are all at stake because of what decision is being made, attempting to be made in Jefferson City right now. This is how deep and this is how important this issue is, and this is why all of you should be riveted on this issue. My guest this hour is the Senate Minority Leader, Maida Coleman. Senator Coleman is joining me here to talk about what happened up in Jefferson City yesterday, the ramifications of it, what we need to be doing on this. And I'm looking at this article, and welcome back, Senator Coleman. I'm looking at this article about what happened yesterday from the Post-Dispatch, an absolutely reckless and irresponsible article, and an article that has lies in it and misleading things in it. They don't speak about the over 200 people that came up there. Mm-hmm. They misquote you. They say that it looks like it's going to happen and nobody can stop it. They quote you as saying, and you said, I did not say that.
You know, the one thing I said, and I remember starting my comment off with this, I am adamantly against state takeover of the St. Louis public schools.
I don't see that in here.
And I wanted to make it a point that I said that because I've been a proponent, was in meetings Wednesday night with Local 420. Mary Armstrong has been in Jefferson City all week. She, Ray Cummings, they've been working on this situation, preparing to be in the Capitol, preparing to be at the State Board of Education meeting. It's obvious, based on what Ken King, the Commissioner of Education, presented yesterday, that this was a very slanted and a very well-oiled and directed attempt to just give all the information based on what they wanted to promote. As a matter of fact, in conversations with Diana Borisov last night, she talked to me about the data that he did not submit. Everything that he pulled out of this report he was giving was negative.
So wait a minute. He didn't even give his own commission the entire report that was handed to him?
No. He gave the information.
Wait a minute. Let me say that one more time. Kent King didn't even give his commission the entire report that he was given?
What I understand and what I heard and saw as he made his presentation was all of the negatives in the report. Didn't talk about any of the positives in the report. The report by this five-member advisory board had a lot of ideas. They talked about the bad things and they talked about good things that could happen. It was completely steered toward anything negative. And the superintendent is very concerned about the validity of what he said because it was steered in one direction. And therefore, those are the things that I want to talk about with him when I meet with him this coming Tuesday.
And the other piece of it is that then what that comment or that conversation leads me to believe is that that is why it is so important for people to be up in Jefferson City from this day forward for the next month, because if he only told them one thing,
absolutely,
and if they don't read any further, that's all they're going to think. They need to be educated. These people on the Board of Education need to be, State Board of Education need to be educated about what is really going on.
That's what's really important, because all they're hearing is one side. Now, when you start sending emails and letters and making phone calls to these folks, they're going to see that there really are people in St. Louis that's concerned about public education.
Well, they saw 200 and something of them up there.
But
how can
those 200 people didn't have a voice. They didn't get to speak.
Did they all have the same T-shirts on or something like that? Were they held hold? I mean, was it clear for some of them what side they were on?
They were majority African American. It was pretty obvious they weren't from Jefferson City.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Senator Maida Coleman. We'll be back with some of your calls and comments. Stay with me.
This new year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Butterfly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest
man alive. Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Senator Maida Coleman. We're talking about what happened with the State Board of Education yesterday. And I want to just keep underscoring for people that congratulations to 420. Congratulations to all of the citizens that got up at before 6, my time of the morning, got up and got on a bus at 6:15 or got in their cars at 6:15 in the morning yesterday and drove up to Jefferson City to make their voices heard. And if their voices weren't heard, to make their presence felt about this critical, critical, critical issue that is facing the St. Louis schools. And I also want to underscore that congratulations to you, not only because you did it, but because it was a victory yesterday. It was an absolute victory yesterday because every effort was put into making that commission vote yesterday, and they didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think that's true?
There was no way a vote was going to be taken with that many people from St. Louis City sitting there in that room.
It wasn't going to happen.
It was not going to happen. So certainly it goes to show that when a few come together, when many come together, it can change the effect of what's going on. And you're going to put me off the air soon because I know you have another guest that goes on. But so I want to say a couple things before I leave so that everybody can be completely clear. I am the minority leader of the Senate. That means that I have the responsibility to not only support and promote St. Louis, which I represent, but also to look at everything from a holistic perspective. We have to work very, very hard toward moving this train that I referred to from stopping this train from happening. But at the same time, as the minority leader, when I sit down on Tuesday with Kent King, I will be talking to him about what needs to be done so that this does not happen. And then if this thing is crammed down the throats of the citizens of St. Louis, what is going to happen if a transition board is put in place? I don't want a transition board in place. I do not want to take away the votes and the rights of the people of the city of St. Louis.
Are now you saying that you're going to do everything in your power to stop it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Legislatively, there are things that we can do, but not quick enough that if this board comes back in 30 days and decide to take up the St. Louis schools matter again, mm-hmm. which I suspect that that's their intention based on the testimony that Kent King gave yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason this transitional
team... Do they
team,
have the votes to do that?
Oh, yes, they have the votes. Based on what I saw, there was not one person who said anything negative, who said anything positive about St. Louis Public Schools on that board yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There were questions, but nobody who said slow down
mm-hmm.
and where's the other side of this.
Okay.
So that means that if we get to a transitional board being appointed, what I need to see are lawsuits. I need to see things that will stop this in the middle of the tracks.
And also, can we talk about where the legislation, out of what committee would this legislation come? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it would be the Education Committee. It is the second most important committee in the Missouri legislature.
Who sits on the Education Committee in the Senate?
Well, the Education Committee is made up of six Republicans and four Democrats, or either five Republicans and four Democrats, because the Republicans are in the majority right now. I control who goes on the committee as far as the Democrats are concerned. I've appointed Senator Rheta Days from St. Louis County to the Board of Education. Senator Yvonne Wilson is from Kansas City. She's a long-term legislator and educator, former curator for Lincoln University, graduate of Lincoln, former principal of a school, and administrator in Kansas City. We have a senator from Columbia that's on the committee, and I also just this week appointed myself to the committee purposely because of the issues surrounding St. Louis Public Schools. I was able to negotiate with the Republicans an additional seat on that committee, and I put myself on it.
And so let's talk about that. A piece of legislation concerning the St. Louis Public Schools, it can only come through the Education Committee?
Yes.
Okay, it can't come through that urban committee that they created?
Well, that's over in the House of Representatives.
Right, it's not in the Senate.
And I don't know what craziness is going on with that committee.
But it has to come through the Education Committee.
Absolutely.
So any piece of legislation, so you would know what bills are being filed.
Absolutely.
You would know what little additions that they're trying to do.
I will tell you what I know that can go through that urban committee, which is the same stuff that went through it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Voucher legislation.
Okay.
Tax credit, scholarship legislation. Not stuff that's important to St. Louis Public Schools.
Okay. So you would know and you would have the heads up and all of them, your members would have the heads up on what legislation is being introduced. Would you have the ability to slow it down?
Absolutely.
Would you have the ability to attack other things onto it, on all of that?
I understand that there has been at least six bills filed by a legislator out in St. Louis County that's very pro-voucher,
mm-hmm.
and that some of these bills are considered consent bills. Well, a consent bill is usually a piece of legislation that's not controversial.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this is controversial legislation if it's coming from her.
Mm-hmm.
So I can already tell you, we intend to mount the opposition, and none of that legislation gets out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we have a lot of ways that we can control what goes on. Certainly, it would be good if we never even had a hearing
mm-hmm.
for that legislation. But mm-hmm. considering that this is a Republican legislator, she's going to at least get a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be up to the Democrats to fight it if we... We've either fight it and kill it in committee, or we kill it on the floor of the Senate.
Okay. Let me get to some of our callers out here. James.
Good morning to you and your guests. Liz, I listen to the radio all night, and the type of information that you all are giving out is not on these other stations.
Isn't that something?
It's all negative.
Isn't that something?
It's all negative. They're talking about the chaos that's going on at the school board now. The individual I heard last night, he was the ones that are investigating the school board, and he more or less stated, and I got the impression from him, I don't know his name, but he said he was talking about the chaos that was going on in the school board, and that something had to be done about it soon. And that's the way he said it. So
and was there a follow-up question of, what do you mean something has to be done about it soon? Was there a follow-up question to him? Because there is going to be something that is going to be done about some of the crazy statements that you're hearing coming from from a couple of school board members. None of them are going to be on the board. I mean, two of them are not going to be on the board, and one of them is not going to be president.
Right, I understand it, but I got the impression that he was going to eliminate it.
That's their attempt.
His assessment that they were going to. Now I listened to the station halfway on the radio and at the other opposite end of the radio, and everything is negative about the school board.
But there's money here,
and you only hear two people. Is it the O'Brien? And is that man named Jones?
Jackson.
Yeah. Those two, you hear quotes from them all the time.
That's exactly right, because that's exactly what they're being used for, is to present the image that they're... And, again, Jackson is not going to be on the board anymore because he's not going to run, and then Veronica O'Brien will not be the president anymore because she's not going to win any kind of election on that.
But she's already set up on the other board to hand out money to Sway if he gets it.
But that's, she's one vote out of, like, 12 people. Well, let's fight this fight first. Okay, let's fight this fight first. Let me get to some other callers. Thank you, James. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown, Senator Coleman.
Good morning.
There is opportunity in chaos, as the doctor tells us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me this. When we snatched the gavel out of Veronica's hand,
mm-hmm.
will she still function in her self-appointed pension position?
Yes, she will be in her self-appointed.
How can we get her out? But I
don't know.
Her hand off that money.
Well, perhaps there's a vote by the Board of Education can do to reappoint another member to that and vote her off.
Okay, thanks for the guest.
All right, thank you. And again, this comes back down to, this is democracy. If we were to eliminate Senator Coleman positions, elected positions, because of the chaos that goes on, then we should eliminate the presidency.
Everybody's got to go.
Yeah, everybody's got
to
go.
There's a whole lot of people that need to leave the U.S. and the state legislature and the city legislature.
Absolutely. Democracy ain't pretty. You can go up to Jefferson City and see some crazy stuff coming out of people's mouth and see some crazy stuff happening in the halls of Jefferson City.
Every day.
Every day. So if it's craziness that causes us to eliminate elected positions, then nobody should have a job.
It's about dumping on the city of St. Louis.
Taking their money.
That's it.
And taking their money.
That's right.
On 877-920-WGNU. Kevin.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
Outstanding. Outstanding.
I want to ask you something. Why come our churches haven't did like the Catholics and the other people did? I think if we got church involved in our school, I think we could do a lot better, you know.
Thanks for your call.
Good point.
1-877-920-WGNU. Robin.
Good morning, Senator Coleman. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I'm really saddened by this because my daughter, she's a first-time voter. You know, she turned 18, and she was proud to vote. That's, you know, that kind of dampens the spirit of young voters. You know, my vote really doesn't count if this situation goes through.
And then what we have to do is to dig deep and find the blood of our ancestors and say, you know, if every time we stop doing something simply because somebody told us no, we wouldn't be halfway where we are right now.
Because I'm really going to dig my heels in. I got a son. He'll be 18 in August. He
better
wants
fight.
To vote.
And wait a minute. So the message in life is that when you fight for something and somebody hits you back, you're going to say, okay, I can't fight this no more. You better dig your heels in. This is a fight. This is a fight, okay? And it's a fight forever. They're going to be increment. Think about it. We won this round. Mm-hmm. We run this round because they didn't vote for this three-person panel. And they're going to have to get legislation passed to get that done. And they haven't faced the lawsuits yet. And there were hundreds of people that went up there. And they didn't get their appointment, Donnell Whitmill Smith, to the committee. We've won a lot of this.
Okay.
So dig deep, find the wins in this, and understand that this is a battle for forever.
It really is. It's a battle of our right to vote. What the people say should count.
Fact. Thank you. Fact. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning, Liz, and good morning, Senator Maida Coleman.
Good morning.
How you doing? This is Martha West. Keep working, and you heard what Peter Kendall said about our schools. Look, Attorney Jay Nixon, they're going to be bringing him to us. What about that money? Can he release some money?
If he's running as the only Democrat for the governor, don't expect anything out of him. Don't expect anything out of him.
Well, keep working up there and get those black representatives up there.
All right.
Thank you.
Senator Coleman, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning and lighting this up for us, and we will be in contact, especially as a member of the Education Committee.
Absolutely.
We will be in contact, and I hope you will be keeping me apprised of every bit of legislation that comes through.
I will. Thank you
so much for joining me at this early hour. We'll be back.
You.
Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 at 141 in Mason, looking for slow traffic. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and the 255-270 interchange, and between Arsenal and 44, you can expect some delays. Northbound 270 at Dorset all the way through 70, look for slow traffic in the right lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into Cleves Landing is easing through this hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the PSB looks good. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, you can expect delays. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry through Big Bend, look for slowdowns around the 44 interchange. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is starting to stack up. Westbound 270 at 367 in West Florissant looks good. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight is on the move. And southbound 55 at Bates and Loughborough, look for a medical emergency around Loughborough, 141 near 21. Look for an accident there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, periods rain, high in the lower 50s for this evening, rain and possible freezing rain as well. With a low around 34. Saturday, rain, freezing rain throughout the day with a high only in the upper 30s. And then for Sunday, look forward to rain most of the day with a high in the lower 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies, a little drizzle here. Our current temperature is 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 55 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with The Motivational Moment. I would like to encourage you to use persuasion instead of convincing when you are communicating with others and you are wanting to influence them. You see, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When you use persuasion, people actually adopt your way of thinking. But when you convince people, guess what? All you get is compliance. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
That's right. That's right. This is Liz Brown. We have a lot to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Professor John B. Quigley. You know, we've heard that crazy speech from Boy George. Was it yesterday or the day before? Day before yesterday. Where he looked glassy-eyed, ADD'd into the camera and read off the teleprompter that he was going to commit tens of thousands of our babies to this invasion, this occupation of Iraq. That's what he said he was going to do. Nancy Pelosi, Reid, Kennedy, and others are saying, we don't want tens of thousands of our babies committed to this war forever and ever again. Amen. We don't want that. So, what can the Congress do about that? What can the Congress do? We're going to be talking to Professor John B. Quigley to have that conversation. That's in the 9 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss it because this is riveting radio. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I went to a funeral this week. A funeral of a baby that was born on January 9th, 1991, and was buried, a 15-year-old buried on his 16th birthday. Why? Because he was murdered by a cop. We'll be talking about that with Akbar Muhammad. He was there at the funeral as well, and he's going to be here to talk about a rally that's going to be taking place on Monday. Akbar, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Born on January 9th, 1991, buried on January 9th, 2007.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah. A tragedy, Liz. And as I stood in that funeral parlor and looked at the young people, or in that church, I should say, and with Reverend Sam Moore, and looked at the young people in there, you know, I thought about that happening all over the country, city after city. And there needs to be something that we can do just to inform our people of the killing in cities across this country, and especially in altercation with the police and the police, how they handle our community. But Liz, let me say this first. I know we don't have that much time on the air, but I want to thank you very much for having me on this morning. And my main focus is to have our brothers and sisters to come out to a community, I don't want to call it a rally, but a community forum, because we need to hear from the community. We need to hear what they're thinking and how they view this, and we're having it on the holiday, Martin Luther King's birthday, at 12 noon. And Liz, that address and location on Union, do you know the...
It's right there at Union and Del Mar. It's right there. It's the West End Community Center. It's right there at Union and Del Mar. So if you go down Union or off of Del Mar, you'll hit the West End Community Center. It's right there.
Yes, and I'm inviting our brothers and sisters to be out. Many in the community know that we lost one of our brothers, a very good Muslim brother, a strong brother who's always been helpful to me, Brother Charles Muhammad. He was shot and killed. I was in Chicago Sunday night, the third homicide of St. Louis this year, and a real tragedy. So we got two problems. We got black people killing black people in the inner cities and the communities. They're well armed. We have the lack of police sensitivity to our community. And when I heard that this policeman that shot young Jeremy, and when the people begin to come out of their homes saying over his speaker, the niggers are coming, and I know that there are black officers who heard that call because it was a distress call, what bothered me is those black officers were not forthcoming. And to get in the case of the police chief of St. Louis to tell him, are these the kind of people that you're hiring to patrol our community and to deal with our people?
Well, and not only that, Akbar, when we look at that, at Joe Mokwa as the police chief of the city of St. Louis, what kind of environment has he created, has he inflamed, has he encouraged, has he supported that this white officer felt that comfortable in calling that out over the radio? That wasn't the first time that he'd used that word. He didn't this is Michael Richards. Of course Michael Richards had used the N-word before because he was comfortable with it. That was instinctive when he was in distress. That's what he saw in our community. And if that's how you see us, is it any surprise that you have a 15-year-old baby laying on his stomach with his arms outstretched like Christ on a cross, laying face down in the dirt with bullets in his back?
Unbelievable. And, Liz, we have to bring this out to the community. I had heard, you know, I was out of town when all of this took place, and I rushed back to St. Louis when I heard that our brother was killed, and it was in the meeting with our brothers that we were discussing this painful death of Brother Charles, that it was brought to my attention about little Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And that night I got a note that they wanted me to come to the funeral. Now imagine all of this at one time, and I just didn't have any knowledge of it. And what it shows you that when these criminal acts against our people are committed, they don't receive the national attention that they should receive, so that we would know collectively as a people what's happening across the country. One of the things during the civil rights movement, that there was coverage, and then they saw that the coverage united a movement across this country, and then they begin to isolate coverage to just particular areas, but no national coverage. This deserves the same national attention that the brother in New York, Mohima, and the
Amadou Diallo.
Mm-hmm. And the killing, or the brother Sean in Queens a few weeks ago during the holidays.
That's right.
They received national coverage. It's been in national newspapers because the community in New York brought it to the attention of the people, and it spread across America. And we have to do this for St. Louis. Otherwise, these criminal acts will continue in St. Louis. And so at the rally on Monday, we hope to be in a position, Liz, to discuss this with our community. And also, I am definitely going to make sure that it receives some national attention from the black publications across the country, the radio shows across the country. And if it were not for, Liz, let me just say this, if it were not for your show bringing things to the attention of our community, and then you have two levels, Liz. You have the activist community who put their ears to the ground through your show, and try to find out what's happening. And then you have the people that are oblivious. They don't know what's going on.
But we also have to underscore, I'm doing what I'm doing, but I'm reporting on things that that Irene J. Smith and Charles Quincy Troop are doing. These are two people, one of them an elected official, one of them a regular citizen now, and out there doing the work, doing the yeoman's work. They went and got the pathologist, Akbar. They went and got the pathologist so that we could confront the lies that we're being told about the murder of Jeremy. When the chief of police says that that child only had one bullet in him, he a lie. I know he's a lie because I have now seen the pictures of Jeremy's body. I've seen the bullet holes in Jeremy's body. And we had Irene J. Smith and a pathologist and Charles Quincy Troop counting the bullet holes in that baby's body. The chief of police is lying to the public about how this baby died, and he's lying to cover up the murder of this child.
Okay, well, Liz, this is what we must do on Monday. I want to deal with two things Monday. I want to deal with our young brothers in the city shooting and killing each other over absolute foolishness. I want to deal with the fact that we need to have, if we say more policemen, what we need is community patrol. We need people in the community who will go out and stop those kind of senseless shootings in our community, and then we need to deal with the St. Louis Police Department. So and we need to deal with them, and we need to deal with them with some strength. And the ultimate, it don't stop at the police chief. It goes to the office of the mayor. Is the police chief in St. Louis, appointed by the mayor?
Well, it's by the board of police commissioners, and also Francis Lay is on that board as well.
Okay. Well, we need to deal with them.
And well, yeah, and I think that ideally one of the things, because this is also from an organization against police crimes and repression, their membership have brought up a wonderful point that there needs to be right now. Mokwa has said out of his mouth right before this baby was killed that we are going to take the gloves off in the streets of St. Louis, and right after that you have this unarmed 15-year-old baby dead on the ground. There needs to be hearings in the Board of Aldermen on what Mokwa said, on what's being told to these police officers. There's a lot of things that need to be done, and I really think that there needs to be a community push to get rid of Mokwa. If a black person had his job and this city was deemed the most criminal city in the state, in the United States, and you had a police chief that was hiding numbers and lying about numbers about the number of rapes and the number of murders that actually take place in this city, and you had people dying, like children dying like this, a black police chief would no longer have their job. Mokwa shouldn't have his either.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Akbar Muhammad. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with us. Mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed. Hometown sale at your hometown Sears. Get on down to 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Look, they are having a lawn and garden closeout event. All 2006 tractors, mowers, pressure washers, gas grills must go. Get on down there. Look for the yellow tag. There's a terrific sale going on. Think ahead. Think ahead to the spring. It's coming. Spring is coming. Get on down to 3425 Union. Wonderful hometown sale at your hometown Sears. And if you don't need a lawnmower, they have some great deals on washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, dishwashers, everything you need. Hometown sale at your hometown Sears. Get down there. Tell them I told you to.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking this hour to Akbar Muhammad, and there is a community forum that's going to be held on Monday, on Martin Luther King's birthday, at 12 noon at the West End Community Center. That's right at the corner of Union and Del Mar, on the Union side, on the Union side of Union and Del Mar. That's the West End Community Center. That's on Monday at 12 noon. And Akbar, welcome back. When you were at the funeral, what were some of the things that struck you? The funeral of Jeremy.
Number one, the amount of young people who were there that really touched me. And how do you tap into these young people to make them realize what's going on beyond just the loss of his life and their gang colors, but what's happening to our communities across this country? How do you touch them? How do you talk to them and get them more involved in a positive direction? Liz, before I go on, I failed to give the community. This is the first time that I talk to the community via your radio show since the minister had his surgery. And he's recovering, and he's doing very well. Even though the press reported he had 12 hours of surgery, and I think in our paper, but he was actually on that table for 13 hours from the time they started until they finished, which is a very long surgery. But yesterday when I checked on him, he was doing well, sitting up, moving around, and we are praying that God will bless him to be with us February the 25th in Detroit, where we're having our annual convention. We're in the city of Detroit, where our Nation of Islam started in 1930. The first time that we're having our national convention there in many, 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 many years.
Excellent.
So I just wanted to give the community a report, and that the minister is improving every day. And we're looking forward. This is a long healing process, and we're looking forward to having him in the Detroit. So I wanted to say that, and which I should have said at the top of the show.
And let me get to a couple of callers here.
Okay.
Christine.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Muhammad, what do you think about the schools not providing grief counseling for the children after this murder?
I think
thank you,
that's
Christine.
A very good question. We talked about this before, because you remember in all of these school shootings, or when people in the community are killed at in a school, and it's community-wide, if you look at it, they always have this counseling across the country.
Well, before you go any further, let me talk about that real quick, because I talked to Donna Jones, and I talked to Peter Downs, and I talked to Quincy Troop about that very thing, and it's my understanding that they did get grief counselors to the schools to deal with the babies.
Okay.
So, I know where you were going with that point, because that's always the way that it always happened at other places. And I guess it kind of speaks to having the access to and having black folks on the Board of Education that are concerned about our babies. Because
yes.
Donna was at the funeral as well.
Yes. Okay, my sister, so that question, and it has to be an ongoing process.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes you use this kind of a tragedy to bring attention to what happened, and you have to be truthful. You cannot cover up the police department.
No, you can't.
You cannot avoid the issue. You have to talk about it straight to young people so that this kind of tragedy does not happen again in our community.
Absolutely.
But if you just pass it up that it was unfortunate, and then you try to put the blame on Jeremy, he shouldn't have been in the van, or he was with the wrong people, they went down a one-way street. The reality of the fact is that a policeman shot a 15-year-old baby, a white policeman in the black community. That is the reality, and that's what we have to give our babies.
Shot him. And you know what? I was reading the T-shirts of the young people, the babies that were there, and we're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these children came out, and they got it. I mean, they got that piece of it, that there was it was wrong. This child was shot and killed, unarmed, and in the back.
Yes.
Let me get to another caller here. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a statement for Minister Mohammed. I was in Athens when the first Rodney King verdict was brought that acquitted the policeman of the beating. And I saw the rioting of young Greek people storming the American embassy in reaction to that vulgar court decision. So what I want to urge you, Minister Mohammed, and I'm sure you've done this before, you have strong support from the international community. And as a matter of fact, the Greeks said it again yesterday. Yeah. They stormed the American embassy again and fired a missile into it because of President Bush's statement. So don't hesitate and don't forget that the world out there knows what's going on in this country. And I think you have a valuable asset there. And thank you for listening to me. And I've been following your work, and I am really in awe of what you are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Thank you for calling. Let me say this, Liz. First of all, I want to thank him. The point of this is to send it out. And I mean, we have some writers who are working on a story on Jeremy for the national press, but I will definitely use what we have in the African newspapers that I have good contact with, and also to the BBC, so that we can bring some focus. And the part of it, Liz, is that St. Louis being number one city for crime in the country, and then we bring out this, that in a city that's number one, here is a white policeman in the black community killing an unarmed 15-year-old boy, shooting him 14 times while he's laying on the ground. And the reports that I got as I listened for an hour of what happened that day, I mean, it's horrific. It's terrible. It's a tragedy beyond our wildest imagination. But if we don't make it known, it will die right there in St. Louis, and it'll be another black baby killed by a white policeman.
And I hope that your writers are going to be talking to Irene and to
yes,
to Quincy.
Yes,
because
they are
the eyewitnesses to this. They're the ones that are out there that have been talking to all of these witnesses out here.
Yes.
And that's part of the story. I mean, it also, it's part of the community piece of the story.
Yes.
And Akbar, again, talk to us again about the rally, about the community meeting,
yes,
actually, community
now, I'm
forum.
I'm encouraging, and for our brothers who are listening, we know what it takes to turn people out. If they don't know, they won't be there. So we have the responsibility to get those pluggers, those handbills, and get announcements wherever we can get them, handbills under the church windows this Sunday, and especially our progressive churches, to let them know about the rally. Many people don't show up because they don't know about it. But we're on this show, and Liz has a niche audience of people who are activists who listen, and they'll show up. But we want to spread it out to those who may not be listening this morning. So the rally at 12 noon, forum at 12 noon on Monday, January the 15th at the West End Community Center. And I would hope that our brothers and sisters and the different communities would spread this word, make announcement at their Juma prayer, their Sunday services. And we have to take the effort. Call your pastors. Make sure that your pastors make the announcement. And when they finish whatever they're doing at the breakfasts on the Monday morning for Martin Luther King, we would expect them all at this community center. We have to show our level of outrage at what took place. And you cannot stay at home and say what a shame it was and shake your head. but you have to move those bodies and show them that our community is outraged and we're going to make a change in the city of St. Louis to protect our babies and our young men. I mean, when I heard about this brother Charles being shot the way he was shot and the mindset of those young men who killed our brother, what are they thinking about? These are our babies, young teenagers, young boys, and we got to work on them. And the only way we can work on them is have a united effort in our community. So I hope and pray that you will show up, be with us on Monday so we can talk about strategies to deal with it.
Very good, Akbar Muhammad. Thank you so much for being part of the wake-up call.
I look forward to seeing you, Liz, or talking to you Monday morning before the rally.
Well, actually, we have our International Urban Institute meeting on Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. And we're going to be talking about this and dealing with some issues on this, too. So, yes, let's do that.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back at you. Stay with me in the next hour.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below that, the below me.
Below me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers. Stop
this. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It could be another testy day on Capitol Hill with more hearings about to begin to President Bush's Iraq plans. They begin actually in about a half hour from now. You could just about cut the tension yesterday in a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing. More from ABC's Jake Tapper.
One exchange in particular is being criticized by conservatives as unfair. Senator Barbara Boxer, a California Democrat, asked Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice who pays the price for the administration's policies. I'm not going to pay a personal price, said Boxer. My kids are too old and my grandchild is too young. You're not going to pay a price, as I understand it, with an immediate family. So who pays the price? The American military and their families. Rice is unmarried and has no children, so some interpreted Boxer's remarks as particularly hurtful. But a spokesman for the senator said all she meant was that neither she nor the secretary have family members in the military. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
All service members are fair game. That includes National Guard and reservists when it comes to future deployments, but they got what some would consider some good and some bad news about future tours of duty.
The defense chief announced Guard and reserve units will only be deployed for a year instead of 18 months or longer. Good news. But, and this is a big but, he can't promise they will get the 5 years at home that guardsmen and reservists expect between deployments.
ABC's David Curley at the Pentagon. The White House is easing up on some anti-terrorism restrictions it imposed after the 9/11 attacks. Some foreigners who had helped armed groups but aren't considered terrorists themselves will now be allowed to seek asylum or resettle in the U.S. This policy applies to people who say they were forced to comply with violent factions. Greek officials think leftist radicals were behind today's rocket attack on the U.S. embassy in Athens. Ambassador Charles Reese talked to reporters just after it happened.
The embassy was hit by some attack from outside. There can be no justification for such a senseless act of violence.
There were no injuries. It was the first attack on a major U.S. target in Greece in about 10 years. This is ABC News.
A three-day weekend is perfect for planning a home project. So head to Lowe's and take 20% off all special order carpeting or 10% off all in-stock Whirlpool washers and dryers priced $397 or more. It's a plan. Offer offer good while supplies last. Put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more January 11th to January 15th, 2007. Whirlpool washer and dryer offer not valid on special order, previous sales, or installation fees. See store for details. Lowe's, let's build something together.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
1 month it's up, the next it's down. It's getting pretty tough to budget for gasoline from month to month. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
Gasoline prices around here are down at least a little in the last few weeks. Obviously, that's not what bothers pickup truck driver Jack Tisdale. It's that,
you know, that's just like a crapshoot. You never know.
Tisdale says supply and demand just don't seem to apply.
You see that the price of crude goes down, and yet our prices go down a little bit. But if the price of crude goes up, they immediately go up.
Warmer than expected weather is helping to hold down demand for oil and pushing down gasoline prices in many parts of the country. In other places, they've stayed about the same. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
You should be careful what you give your child or your baby when he or she has a cold. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says more than 1,500 young kids were rushed to the ER last year after having serious reactions to cough syrups and cold medications. Three of them died. Daria Allinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a suspect is in custody for the shooting of a University City police officer. 28-year-old Harvey Johnson turned himself in to St. Louis City Police yesterday afternoon. U-City police say two officers went to Johnson's home Wednesday night, but Johnson fled, shooting an officer in the leg. The officer is now out of the hospital. A family in Florissant is supporting President Bush's decision to send more troops to Iraq. Jim and Donna Klein have three sons who serve in the military, all of whom spent time in Iraq. Jim Klein says that even though his sons may be redeployed, he supports the decision with a heavy heart. The state of Illinois is considering a smoking ban for the workplace. Yesterday, a coalition of state lawmakers and health organizations announced a legislative push to eliminate smoking from all indoor workplaces, including bars and restaurants. The idea could be debated as early as next month when both chambers of the legislature are back in Springfield. Smoking is already banned in many office settings, and Illinois allows local governments to institute total bans within their borders, though most downstate communities have chosen not to. Finally this hour, a familiar face will be a part of the NBC telecast of tomorrow's Blues game. Former Blue Brett Hull will be making his debut as a studio analyst for the game. The Blues will host the Los Angeles Kings tomorrow afternoon at 1. The Blues have won 8 of their last 11 games to boost their record to 15-21-7. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound Highway 40, approaching Ballester McKnight. Look for a vehicle on fire reportedly at Spady. Westbound 5570 and 64 split all the way into the TSB. Look for a disabled vehicle between 3rd Street and Tudor. Use caution. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270-255. Look for some delays there. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. You've got some delays as well. Northbound 270 at Dorset 370. Look for slow traffic in the right lane as you approach the 70 exit. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is available. Pitch through the Cleve Landing. Looks good. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason's on move. Northbound 270 from 44 through Big Bend. Look for some delays there. Northbound Route 3, that approach on the Poplar Street, starting to stack up. 70 eastbound from K through 79, expect some delays. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, look for some slowdowns there as well. And also 44 eastbound at Watson and Lindbergh, look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident that's on the ramp to Lindbergh, so just use caution and slow down. It's a little bit slick out there. Take your time. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Periods of rain, high in the lower 50s. For this evening, rain, possible freezing rain even, with a low around 30. Then for Saturday, rain and freezing rain throughout the day, high in the upper 30s. Then on Sunday, rain throughout the day with a high in the lower 40s. Currently, we have 55 degrees and overcast skies. We've got some drizzle in some areas. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. It's Riveting Talk Radio. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, how can I listen?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have so much, so much, so much to tend to. There's a community forum on at noon on January 15th. That's Monday. At the West End Community Center, that's at Union and Del Mar, on the Union side of the corner. Right there at Union and Del Mar. You can't miss it. You cannot miss it. Union and Del Mar. I want to tell you all some stuff. And put it on your calendar. On Sunday, February 18th, I will be giving a speech at the Julia Davis Library. That's Sunday, February 18th. And I will be giving a speech on the condition of public education in the city of St. Louis. And I'd like all of you all to come on out and to check it out at the Julia Davis Library on Sunday, February 18th, from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And then what is interesting also, on the 20th of January, I will be part of a forum. And there are going to be five people on this forum on education. And that's going to, and I'm going to be talking about an onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary. That's going to be on the 20th of January at 1 p.m. Ron Jackson is supposed to be on this panel. Bornita Knute is going to be the moderator. Bert Schulte, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Education, Elementary and Secondary Education, is also going to be on it. And I believe also that John Moton is going to be on it as well. And Senator Rita Days is also supposed to be on this panel on the 20th of January. I'm going to be speaking on an onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary, January 20th. And it's going to be at the New Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant, at the corner of Florissant and Shreve. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Be there. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
People can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free information DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean, be fit, be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fees. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Heard you thought about committing suicide. Was it your pride made you want to die? Leave your mama, wonder why, and your baby used to cry. And was it over, jilted lover, busted brother, operating undercover, make you turn your back on your God? Tell me what you crying for. Let him go.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to tend to. Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Good morning, Liz Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I am very good, although very challenged. I don't know if anyone has called in this morning to tell you about what has happened with a memorial that the young people have erected in memory of Jeremy over in the 22nd Ward.
No one has.
Yesterday, Alderman Troop and I and another person was out riding because we had some appointments with some witnesses who have agreed to talk to us, but they are fearful of talking to police. So we had gotten a call from the grandmother that Jeremy's brother, of course, was very upset because basically somebody went through and kind of demolished the memorials.
What do you mean demolished?
Two things they had set up. You know, the tree where the car, where the truck collided, they had decorated it with teddy bears and various momentums that they had put on this tree. The spot actually where Jeremy was murdered, they had set up another memorial, and they had like little crates that you sit around like you're sitting there, and then they had some flowers in the center. Well, that was all dismantled, torn apart, and the tree was actually, parts of the teddy bears and things of that nature were actually set on fire.
You know who did that, don't you?
Well, we believe, I mean, we don't have any witnesses, at least that have come forth at this time. We believe that whoever did it was convinced to do it on behalf of some police.
That's fact.
And we indicated to the young people, you know, just keep your cool. We believe that it is to provoke them to do something irrational. But it is highly disrespectful. And if, in fact, the police is involved in this, I mean, to me, that just still shows the type of renegade behavior of the lawless officers who are involved with this.
And how much they hate our community. How much they hate our community. That's an act of rage and hate. And it's a provocative act designed to allow them to engage in more of their raging, hating activity directed at our community.
And as yesterday, it was quite interesting. And Alderman Troop and I, as we were riding, you know, going around, trying to be careful about how it seems like we had an escort yesterday. We were being followed by someone that we believe was the police. And then as we showed up at the near where we were to meet our witness, maybe it was coincidental, but it just happened to be two police cars sitting, came up just as we came up. You know, one was parked and then another one pulled up. May have been totally coincidental, but I doubt it. Many, many people that we are talking to, they will talk to us. They will say, I trust you, Alderman Troop. I trust you, Ms. Smith. I'll tell you everything that I saw. But they are fearful of the police, you know, and we just want to try to, you know, encourage people. So I asked a witness yesterday, I said, would you be willing to talk to the FBI? And she said, nah, I don't know about that, Ms. Smith. I'll talk to you if you want to follow up, but I don't know about that. I have to think about that, but I don't think so. She, you know, and just this fear. There are some witnesses that said, that they will, but, you know, of course, the more witnesses who witnessed this, who will come forward and are willing to talk to the FBI about the situation, the better.
And can I point out something real quick as it's flowing through my mind here, Irene? Let me get this straight. Cops had time to find somebody to try to burn the memorial to Jeremy down. Cops had time to find out that you and Quincy were in a vehicle looking to talk to witnesses and follow you. Cops had time to show up right near where they thought that you were going to be talking to some witnesses. But cops haven't had time to give us the police report, the initial police report from this murder. Is that right?
Because certainly the officer who was involved, his report should be available at this point. It's my understanding that Alderman Troop did receive a letter from, I guess it's Captain Giesecke, who was over the homicide division, indicating that he had checked the radio tapes and that he assured Alderman Troop that there was no racial ethics that were used by the officer who witnesses have indicated, killed and murdered Jeremy. So, and he is asking that, requesting that we give, that, you know, Alderman Troop provide any names of any witnesses. Individuals spoke to me with the understanding that I would not release their names, you know, in a legal capacity as a lawyer. They spoke to me as a lawyer.
Has Quincy Troop had a chance to hear those tapes?
No.
Has anybody you know had a chance to hear those tapes?
No.
So
these
are the same.
Troop, I'm sure he's going to be requesting
to hear the tapes.
To hear the tapes.
And also the other piece of it is this is the same police department that looked the a weekly black paper in the face and said he was only shot once, right?
Right. I haven't read that, but what I did read is that the chief said that Jeremy was not shot in the back, and he certainly was.
I saw the pictures. You saw the body.
Right. I saw the body.
You
he
saw
was
the
shot
body.
In the back 5 times.
And Moqua, who has far more access to stuff than we do, came out and said to the press he was not shot in the back. That's a lie. So are we to believe the same people that are saying that he wasn't shot in the back? No, he didn't say that over there. I bet it's not on there anymore.
Well, not only that, I think in view of that, as Alderman Troop has repeatedly said, this is a paramilitary organization.
Mm-hmm.
And once the head, the commander-in-chief says, no, this was a justifiable shooting, who else in the organization is going to find or come out and say something contrary to that?
Mm-hmm.
So then after pressure was put on, after we began our own independent investigation and had our own independent doctor to look at the body, now all of a sudden it's a continuing investigation. And so the question that people need to call to the police department, to, you know, the public relations and ask, when is the preliminary police report going to be made available? There is absolutely no reason for the officer who was involved, who we believe, based on sources, that it was Nathaniel Burkamper. There's no reason that officer's report should not be done. That officer's report should be complete.
There's no question about that.
There's no question about that. Because the officer's report is done, and then that is then in turn turned over to the detective bureau.
And you know, you've seen plenty of those reports. I've seen plenty of those reports. You've been a criminal defense attorney. I've been a criminal defense attorney. That's the easiest report to write.
Right.
It would
have been the arresting officer.
And there's only one person involved in it.
There was one police officer on the scene when this happened.
That's the easiest report to write.
Easiest report. So the question should be, here we are, 2 weeks later, today, 14 days later, why do we not have that preliminary report? The first officer on the scene, why do we not have his report? And it was also my understanding, Liz, that I have received some calls from a source, I don't even know who they are, but they said they're tired of videos being released beforehand and then the police try to come up with a story. It's my understanding that now there was a video, that there may have been a video of this entire incident, but the person is waiting on the police to come out with their story so that they can bring the video out that will contradict whatever thing that the police is trying to come up with.
Mm.
And if that is the case, I pray that that is the case, that there is a video that filmed this entire incident. And the person said it is located and has been sent to certain places and is out of town. I said, you know, can I see it? And they said no. They say, but I believe they have been told that there is a video of this entire incident.
And they're waiting for the cops to...
And they're waiting on the police to come out with their story. And then they want to trump them with this video. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I certainly pray that it is.
Because that's the way it has to be done. You got to get them to give their story so that they, just like, and we know that they're going to try to backtrack because we know they came to the funeral home and got the body and took it back. So we know that they're already backtracking with this story, looking backwards, because had you all not gotten the doctor to look at this body, they wouldn't have come and gotten, I don't believe they would have come and gotten the body.
One thing for sure, you know, I know that many of the young people who live in that neighborhood, they also listen to your show, we found out. And if you are listening today, many of you all showed your love for Jeremy and for his family by coming to his funeral services. If you really love Jeremy, if you really love his family, if you're concerned about his brother, please come forth and please have the courage to talk to the FBI about this situation.
Not the St. Louis Police Department, the FBI.
I totally understand why you are totally reluctant to come forward. But I know the courage that you have. And so whatever information that you can have, please come forth. Liz, I just want to end with this. I had an opportunity to talk to a 93-year-old lady that has known Jeremy all of his life. And I just pray to God that when I'm almost 94, that I have the wit and the strength that Mother Banks has. And she said to me, she told me how long she had known Jeremy. She told me how she would daily see Jeremy on the street and how, you know, he would help her with her groceries and how he would, you know, help her with taking the trash out. And she also told me about an incident that happened, and she didn't really say the time period.
I'm going to need you to hold on, Irene, because we have to take a break. Please hold on with that story, because I don't want to rush you through this story. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call, riveting radio. You need to stay with me. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back. Yes, we will.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Spady. Look for a car fire west of Spady. It's been cleared, so traffic is going to be a little tied up this morning. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. We've got some delays going on there. Westbound 6570 and 3rd Street, the Poplar Street Bridge. It is on the move, but they expect some heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason is starting to stack up a bit, and then you have westbound Kingsbridge traffic is rolling into town just fine. Eastbound 70 from K into 3rd City Expressway. Look for some delays. It's heavy, but it's on the move. Northbound 44 between, or northbound 270 at 44 interchange. Look for some delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at the weather for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Periods of rain today, high in the lower 50s. This evening, rain and possible freezing rain with a low around 30. Then for Saturday, rain and freezing rain throughout the day with a high in the upper 30s. And on Sunday, rain all day with a high in the lower 40s. Currently, we've got 56 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 56 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Like a flower waiting to bloom. Like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Irene J. Smith. We're talking about the continuing story of our baby Jeremy, who was mowed down in the street, murdered in the street by the St. Louis police. Irene, you were telling us a story.
Mother Banks told us about an incident in which, you know, she said she keeps her door open and the kids, she said, Jeremy comes by every day. So this particular day, she walked to her door and the police had these kids sitting on the sidewalk, you know, and she said, you know, they went in their pockets and Jeremy didn't have anything. He had on a red cap. They had him sitting down on the curb. They made him take off his shoes. So she stepped out her house, and she asked them, why were they stopping them, you know? And she said, well, he got on a red cap. And she said, well, I have a red hat, so if I come out here wearing my red hat, you think that I'm doing something wrong or I'm in a gang or something just because I wear the color red, because I like red? I like to wear a red hat. And so she told him, she said, you know, when you all are doing right, she talked about the police. She said, I fully support you. She said, but I do not support you abusing and misusing children that are not doing anything. Now, this is a good boy. I know him, you know. And so then, you know, the police allowed him, they got up, and they let him go. And she said, I see young people who are doing things that are illegal. She said, and I talk to them because I love them because they're a child of God. She said, and I tell them that they should stop doing wrong. She said, but the police is, if though every kid over here does wrong, but she emphasized the point about the red, because a lot of people say, well, they putting them red bandanas up and they doing this. They must have been in a gang, you know. That's how they identified with each other. And I guess it's okay if you're a Cardinal fan and you put on a red shirt or a red cap. But if you're in a neighborhood and you identify by a particular color, then there's something wrong with that, or you are automatically presumed to be a criminal. And she said that was, she said, that's wrong. She said, that's wrong mm-hmm. for them to do that. And she said, that's what they did. She said, but she said, I'm going to tell you something, baby. She said, I pray to God that the truth is going to be revealed about this. And that officer, she said, he ain't getting away. She said, he is not going to get away. He is going to face what he did when he murdered Jeremy. She said, I wasn't there. She said, but I know that this boy ain't never had carried no gun. She said, he can't, and she said, I saw him nearly every day. She said, I see the ones out there that had a little weapons or whatever they doing. She said, and I try to talk to them. She said, and that's why they respect me. She said, but I know that this child wasn't the type of child that would have been carrying the gun. She said, working on a go-kart, on a bike, riding up and down the street. And then the memorial that they set up by Jeremy's grandmother's house, by his home, that has been dismantled.
And I guess the word dismantled sounds a little like structure type of thing. It's been torn down.
It's been torn down. And keep in mind, you know, there are sometimes you say, Lord, if I see another one of those memorials. But we know of instances, and I could think of one that probably just came down after 3 years up on King's Highway across from Norwood Court, not too far from King's Heights, rather, that had been up there for almost 3 years.
The teddy bears had turned from white to brown.
And the people had came and put new
ones.
Teddy bears up there.
So how dare you come into our community? Who would tear it down, Irene? If there were 500, 600 children at this funeral, okay, from all across the spectrum, from every place in the city of St. Louis, they came to Jeremy's funeral to show love. 1,000 people were there at the funeral. Who would have torn it down? But the police. Who would have had reason to tear it down?
What is interesting from a male teacher or someone that's involved over at Turner Middle School, you know what he said to me?
What?
He said, what was interesting is that you have all these kids from different neighborhoods, right? And we know you have neighborhood conflicts sometimes. He said, but what was interesting is that all of these kids got along with Jeremy. He said it was like he was a natural leader. He said, I'm not no leader. He said, well, you get along with all these different kids. He said, yeah, but I treat them the way I want to be treated.
But I was just thinking, Irene, as I was looking at those pictures that you showed me of Jeremy's body, laid out there on the table, cut open, sliced open, riddled with bullet holes, and I looked at the look on his face, and I was thinking, God, his last moments on this earth were terrorized moments, running as 15-year-old child, just around the corner from his house, running for his life and being mowed down in the mud for no other reason but you're hated by a person whose job it is to serve and protect. I cannot imagine. All of the, he didn't even have time, Irene, for last thoughts. He didn't have time to send out a spiritual message to anybody and everybody who loved him and who he loved to think about them. He didn't have that time. He died with terror in his eyes, in his heart, and in his spirit. And that's a sin against God.
The one lady told us, she said, it was unreal. She said, you hear about these things, You see them on television. You see them in movies. You read about it happening in somebody else's neighborhood. She say, but to see it, she say, it was unreal. She say it was unreal and so quick. It was unreal. It was unreal. She said, can't just shooting.
The baby is
someone that is laying down on the ground
with his arms stretched out like he's on the Jesus on the cross, face down in the mud, shooting until his clip was empty. Shooting until his clip was empty. And then hollering out over the radio that these ends are coming, come get me. Why do you think he was so scared? Why do you think
because
he was...
People were coming. Women with nothing in their hands were saying, you know...
And no shoes on.
No shoes on their feet are coming trying to tell this man, stop. Stop shooting this kid. He doesn't have a gun. He's surrendered. He's on the ground. I mean, she said it was unreal. She could not believe it.
And
could not believe it.
And again, Irene, this wasn't at 2 o'clock in the morning. This wasn't at dusk. This was at high noon on a sunny day in the middle of the street.
Johnny Jeremy was pronounced dead by the medical examiner's office, according to their records, at 12:09.
December 29th.
Thank you, Liz.
International Urban Institute tomorrow, 9 o'clock, right?
That's right.
1020 North Taylor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Irene.
Take care. See you tomorrow.
I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, and a hometown sale. I'm talking about a hometown sale. Started yesterday through the weekend. Look, lawn and garden closeout events. All 2006 tractors, mowers, pressure washers, gas grills, they must go. Look for the yellow tags. Wonderful 10% off of all sale price. Look, refrigerators and stoves, great deals with your Sears card. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Hometown sale at your hometown Sears at 3425 Union. Sears, take advantage of the hometown sale. Tell them I told you to.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you a song. come away with me on a bus. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies.
Come away with me. Come away with me. They can't reach us with their lies. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much business to tend to. The International Urban Institute meets tomorrow. We have much to talk about at our meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. Be with us tomorrow. We have much business to tend to. And, you know, if you don't know what's going on, if you want to hear more about what's going on, please come out to the International Urban Institute. So we always talk about, give you the information that you need to know about what's going on with our community every Saturday. Join hands with us as we collectively move towards the changing of our community, the impacting the change in our community. Two incredibly important issues came down this week. And you need to be there at the International Urban Institute tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor. Pass it on. Bring your babies. Pass it on. Bring your babies. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to here. Kathy, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. I'm still crying over Jeremy. But what I wanted you to know is all the teenagers across the street, the majority of them had on a picture or a scene or something that Jeremy had done or did. All of them had something that said Jeremy on them, every last one of them, almost all of them. And the thing that I wanted to tell them is the same thing I told them out there. We know you need comfort. We know you want to cry, but get tough because we have to deal with this situation ourselves. And we need them to come out to the program for Monday. If they're not at school, if they're...
Nobody's at school on Monday. Schools are closed on Monday.
So come out and hear, you know, because we need to talk to them. I know counseling is fine, but the people who really care about them need to talk to them. And the other thing, one more comment to the trip to Jefferson City yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Kent King told half-truths, skirted around the truths that he did take, and he made it very apparent to us that he was supporting this three-member thing,
mm-hmm.
and that Veronica, he didn't say Veronica, he said that a member of the school board could be included rather than the other person that they had in mind. The only person that spoke to us for us was Archie, the new one that they just swore in. He said, what do the voters have to say about this?
Archer.
Yeah, and they skirted all around that, and we more or less retracted. Well, they said no comments, no this and no that from the audience. But everybody was so happy to hear him say what he did. He's the only one that spoke for the voters right up there. The other thing was Veronica followed us all over the building. When we pulled up, she pulled up. Her mouth fell open when she saw all of us coming
mm-hmm.
out the bus.
I know she did.
She followed us all over the Capitol.
And
wherever we went, that's where we saw her.
That's fine. That's fine.
She ended up in, what's those two guys? Oh, man, I can't remember their names because I dislike them so much. Hubbard and what's the other one?
Hoskins.
Yeah, she was in their rooms when we last saw her.
But understand also, that doesn't mean that she's getting support, because from my reports from coming down from Jeff City, the more people hear her, the more they walk away with the idea of like, oh, there ain't something. She ain't right.
Well,
I mean,
the cameraman told her, look, we're busy here.
Yeah.
Came up to see that they told her, we're busy. We'll see you in a minute.
Yep. So people are getting the sense that the wiring of Veronica is different than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think people are getting that sense. A lot of people are saying that people are saying that she's not right in the head.
Right.
That's what some people out there are saying. You know, so the more she, I hope she talks to everybody up there, because like my father said, you can look at some people's eyes and tell.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at some people's eyes and tell this stuff.
I just want to make sure the teenagers know that we are here and we are going to help them.
All right.
We're not going to stop until this thing is justice all the way around.
All right now. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz, I'm hearing more and more that many of the witnesses really didn't see what happened.
Where are you hearing that from? Where are you hearing that from?
From radio talk shows.
And they are basing that on what? That they have talked to the witnesses themselves? Where are they saying that?
Correct. That's what they said.
Okay, yes. Wait a minute. You're saying that other people have talked to these witnesses and the witnesses have changed their stories. Changed their stories from what?
Well, they didn't change. They just said they lied because they lied.
And so the people. Wait a minute. I'm trying to deconstruct what you're saying because you're not making any sense. You're saying that somebody talked to a witness and a witness said to them, "I lied."
To keep the police in trouble.
Certainly.
For no other reason.
And so how do you explain Moquist's lie, Michelle? How do you explain Moquist said that the boy was not shot in the back?
I didn't hear him say that.
Let me direct you to the paper. Go pick up the St. Louis American from a week ago. Go pick up the Post. Moquist said the boy was not shot in the back. How do you make up that lie?
You're lying just as much when you say things that the...
Wait a minute. Let's talk about the lie of Moquist. How do you explain that lie? How do you explain Moquist's lie, Michelle? We know that that's a lie because there are photographs. You're saying that other people are saying that I'm lying. I'm telling you that Moquist, it is clear that Moquist lied. Moquist said he wasn't shot in the back. I've seen the pictures of the body, the dead body, and there are bullet holes in his back. So how do you explain? Say that again.
Can you tell an exit from an entrance wound?
Yes, because a pathologist was there identifying this is an exit wound and this is an entrance wound. Yes, Michelle, I can. When an expert says this is an exit wound and this is an entrance wound. And yes, I can.
What supposedly came over the radio really wasn't said, but, oh, it makes for a good story, Liz can tell.
Absolutely, but the thing about it is, Michelle, what I have in front of me is much more than what you have in front of you. I have a clear lie of Joe Moquist. Joe Moquist said he was not shot in the back. He was shot in the back. Joe Moquist also said he was only shot one time. He was shot more than that. So what we do know is Joe Moquist, without any question, hesitation, or pause, we know that Joe Moquist lied. So if Joe Moquist lied, who are you more inclined to believe? The eyewitnesses that say whose story is consistent with the autopsy pictures, or the lie of Joe Moquist, who is self-serving and certainly wants to say that one of his police officers did not commit the crime of murder?
You're going to get your ulcers up.
Don't worry about me, sweetie, because I don't even know your name.
On the term murder you keep using,
yes.
Is that a legal term you're using, like they've been convicted of murder?
I have never said that anybody has been convicted of murder. You don't have to be convicted of murder to commit a murder. Don't you know that? How silly are you? You have to be convicted of a murder in order to commit one? Come on, now. You've watched enough television to know the truth of that. I've never said he's been convicted of it, Michelle. Listen, be a good listener instead of, well, you support George Bush. It ain't your fault. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on a wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, this is satanic. You know, the kids put up the memorial for Jeremy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen memorials put up all over the city.
Troop, you're coming in really, really, really bad. Can we try another line on you? You're breaking up really bad. Try another line. I'll get straight to you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Alfred.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
Okay, I think it's sad that whoever destroyed that memorial. Okay, now some people probably don't believe it. Maybe you can put them pictures that you have out somewhere at some community center or under some paper or something,
mm-hmm.
where people can see it and then they'll believe it. There's a lot of Doubting Thomases, like they used to say.
And one of the things, I understand Doubting Thomases, Alfred, but I also understand people that are not going to believe it even when they have the picture in front of them.
But if they got the picture in the front of them, they friend and say, hey, can't you see?
Well, people looked at that Rodney King tape and said that he wasn't beaten, too.
No, I don't remember that.
Remember? Oh, sure, you remember the Rodney King tape, and there are lots of folks saying that he wasn't beaten.
And the way he was busted up in the head.
They said
they could say that.
But they did. But they did, Alfred.
Yeah, but try to, maybe you could put them pictures
I understand.
Out.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, thank
okay.
you. Bye now.
Troop, you need to call back, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Michael.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing today?
Outstanding.
With no disrespect, before the first question, why did the funeral home let the police take the body from there?
I don't think that the funeral home thought that they could say no. I don't think that they thought that they could say no.
Okay. And for the second question, with the charges that are going to be filed against this police officer, are there going to be federal charges added as well?
I have no idea. We don't even know. We haven't got to that place yet. We know what the family wants. We know what we want, that charges need to be filed against them. And the question of state versus federal is a little early in the discussion. I don't know.
Sorry about that. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Ooh, we have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Love, peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Never say that Congress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you deserve?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News. I'm Gary Aldinger. Any questions? Oh, yes, Mr. Secretary. Robert Gates will get a grilling today from the Senate Armed Services Committee. They want to know a lot more about President Bush's new plans for Iraq and the thousands of service members who will soon get the call. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates admits there are no guarantees that the president's plan will work, but he promises to be straight with the Congress about how it goes.
This committee will not get spin from me. It will not get cant. He will get straight answers, and I'm not afraid to tell you what I think.
As the secretary defends the president's plan for more troops, the man chosen by the president to spearhead the effort, General David Petraeus, has been quietly meeting with key senators. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
Secretary of State Rice is heading for the Mideast, her latest push to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Even before Secretary Rice lands, U.S. officials are warning against any expectations for the talks. They say Rice's peace partners, Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas and Israel's Ehud Olmert, are simply too weak. Abbas is mired in a bloody fight with the radical Hamas faction, and Olmert's approval rating has plummeted to just 14%.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Jerusalem. The U.S. Embassy in Athens is closed after someone launched a rocket at the compound. No one was hurt. Greek officials think it may have been the work of a left-leaning radical group. House Democrats say they won't let a veto threat from President Bush keep them from going forward with the new Medicare drug legislation. The bill would require the government to negotiate drug prices for Medicare patients. The president says competition is already doing that. Soccer star David Beckham, Mr. Posh Spice to some, is heading to America. Just inked a big bucks contract with the LA Galaxy. Says it's not the money, it's the challenge.
I'm not saying that soccer is going to be as big as those other sports, but I think there's
there's a huge improvement to be made. And if I can be part of that, then, you know, I want to be.
This is ABC News.
A three-day weekend is perfect for planning a home project. So head to Lowe's and take 20% off all special order carpeting or 10% off all in-stock Whirlpool washers and dryers priced $397 or more. It's a plan. Offer good while supplies last. Put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more January 11th to January 15th, 2007. Whirlpool washer and dryer offer not valid on special order previous sales or installation fees. See store for details. Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
Well, the wise old owl on the commercial told us the world would never know the answer to this one. He was wrong.
Burning questions of all time. The meaning of life. Where's Waldo? And this one.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
That famous TV commercial fired the curiosity of millions, including 10-year-old James Johnson of Edina, Minnesota.
I want to be the one that does know.
So he licked and counted 1,282 times. Others counted as well, or tried to.
I've lost count.
Simone Rowe made a video, put it on the internet.
377 licks.
The answer varies, like the meaning of life. And where is Waldo? Anyway, Jim Hickey, ABC News.
You're sticking to your New Year's resolution to lose a few pounds, but so far the scale's not budging. Change your thinking. In addition to your eating habits, the author of the book, You on a Diet, say what your goal should be is to feel good, not necessarily to fit into a certain size of clothing. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the State Board of Education is discussing the future of the St. Louis City Schools. Yesterday, the board began considering whether an unelected board should oversee the beleaguered school district. The board did not make a decision at the meeting, which was attended by about 200 people. Education Commissioner Kent King said the board might vote on the issue next month. Several animals have been rescued from an area home. Police and Animal Control raided the residence in South St. Louis yesterday afternoon and removed several dogs, cats, rabbits, and guinea pigs. The animals have been taken to an animal control shelter to be examined and vaccinated. The incident is under investigation, and officials are trying to determine if criminal charges will be filed in this case of animal hoarding. The Rams are looking to get another new field. The artificial turf field at the Edward Jones Dome is being torn up after hosting just 10 NFL games. This is the second season in a row in which a virtually new $170,000 field is being replaced. Dome officials are expected to decide in a few months if they'll have to install another field at taxpayer expense for just one season. Finally this hour, the St. Louis Cardinals winter warm-up starts tomorrow morning at the Millennium Hotel downtown. Adult passes are already sold out for the event, and resales on websites such as eBay were seeking up to $150 per ticket this week. Organizers expect attendance of up to 20,000 for the event, where baseball fans can meet their favorite players and also get a glimpse of the 2006 World Series trophy. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Disabled vehicle right lane is blocked at McKnight. A tractor-trailer is lodged underneath the overpass at this hour. Westbound 5570 and then Poplar Street Bridge. You've got a final push as the morning rush hour gets underway. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the Laclede's Landing. Eastbound 70 from K through Earth City Expressway. Expect no delays at this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 starting to ease off this hour. Westbound 270 into North County is looking good. Northbound 55 is running fine at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Four-day periods, rain, high in the lower 50s. This evening, rain and possible freezing rain, low around 34. Saturday, rain and freezing rain through the day with a high only in the upper 30s. Then for Sunday, chance of rain all day long with a high in the 40s. And then the lows will be in the lower 30s Sunday evening. That's a look at this hour's weather. It's currently 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I'm sorry about the breakup. Irene and I was riding through the
This is Alderman Charles Quincy Troop. Thank you.
Yeah. We was riding through the ward yesterday talking to witnesses and interviewing other witnesses. And we drove by the memorial site that the kids had set up. And somebody went by and drowned it, looked like with gasoline. Had to be gasoline, and burnt the memorial down, burnt the teddy bears, burnt the tree and everything else. And that was, you know, they are afraid. And they won't erase any memory of Jeremy. They don't even want the kids to memorialize him. They had T-shirts and things that they had put up. They took all of that down. I've seen these T-shirts and these theirs and all of this little
memorial stuff.
Memorial stay up for months. And
years.
Months and months.
I've seen them stay up for years.
And now they decided that they was going to take these down and said it was the city that was doing it, and they taking them down and burning the memorial.
Wait a minute, Quincy. You're going a little fast for me to keep up with you here. Who is saying that the memorials have to be taken down as per the city of St. Louis? Who's saying that?
Well, that they didn't say who said it, but that's what was said.
Okay, it was said
to the kids.
So cops said to the kids? That
they said to the kids.
Wait a minute. Cops said to the children, we have to take these down as per the city?
No, the way I'm understanding, the city was taking them down.
And they said it to the kids?
Yeah. Now, but the city didn't burn that memorial.
Wait a minute. Why wouldn't they have gone through you? Who in the city would have come into your, this isn't your ward. This is Jeffrey Boyd's ward. Who would have come into Jeffrey Boyd's ward without notifying him that we're going to be taking this stuff down?
I have no idea. The aldermen usually request the removal. I let them stay up at least 30 days so they can get over the mourning.
So it's possible that an alder person could have asked for this. Or they could have been done on their own. And then nobody said, go burn it, except for, I suspect it was the police.
There's no way to, I know the killing was, in my opinion, cold, conscious, and bordering on satanic.
Murder.
It was murder, yeah.
Hold on, please. We got to take a break. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
The sweet sounds of music
and glorious songs of inspiration broadcast
has been a Sunday morning tradition in St. Louis
for over 30 years. We bring you the best loved songs on the gospel scene.
Plus late-breaking church news,
words of inspiration,
and, well, just a whole lot of fun.
Join me, Evangelist Stella Noreen.
And me, Brother Mel St. Clair, Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m.
Here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is Riveting Radio. We're talking about the murder of Jeremy, born on January 9th, 1991, buried, born buried on January 9, 2007. Died at 15, buried at 16. Charles Quincy Troop, welcome back.
Yes, Liz. You know, what Irene and I, we was looking at what they was doing, and then we went and talked to some of the kids. You know, it's got the kids to the point where the kids want to retaliate. And I keep telling them, don't let them trick you into doing something dumb. What you do is continue to focus, continue to memorialize Jeremy, and make sure that Jeremy's memory is not never forgotten. You can't do that by going out doing what they want you to do. We think that this was all done to enrage those kids over there, and we've been talking to them, and I think we got through to them yesterday. And they were saying, well, they're attacking us. They're killing us. What are we going to do? Saying, just be patient. Just be patient. And hold your peace. But they need a lot of talking to. But they burnt the memorial, Liz. They burnt it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
They didn't take it down. They burnt it. So what the kids start doing, they start putting them up high in the tree. You got to get a ladder now to get them down. But the kids, I told them, just every time they tear it down, put it back up. And so this is kind of what's going on now.
Someone needs to be punished for this, Quincy, because we can't simply say to the kids, be patient and accept this without the understanding with those children that somebody is going to be punished for this murder and punished severely. And those kids need to be part of the process of the punishment of that cop for murdering this child.
Well, Liz, that's why we put in this time in to make sure that they don't get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
We make it. We putting the time in. We get in more and more people that are coming forth every day. And the lady that called in, whatever her name was, Kathy or whoever she was, a lot of people saw this incident from a lot of different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. As most things are.
And the one thing that they all agree on is that Jerry didn't have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they all saw that. And they all saw the cop shoot Jeremy while he was on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no matter what, there are some differences in what some people said, but because of where they were standing when they saw the incident, some people were within 80 feet, 50 feet, and some more than 100 feet, but they saw what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's wishful thinking on the part of those that don't believe that crimes or don't care if crimes are committed by cops against black men or black children. There are people out there that don't care and that will say, I don't care. You shoot them all you want to because they need to be shot anyway. There are people that don't care. So those types of people that will defend it, and they'll defend it with lies saying that witnesses have changed their story. How could anybody know that whether a witness has changed their story or not? How could you know that?
Well, Lewis, you know, I read an article in the, there was a study done by Harvard University and the Kaiser Foundation, and it was talking about black males. And it's a goal, and in that article, it was talking about how black males, put down people, other black males, when you talk about irresponsibility and crime. And I think this is the same thing that this person who is head of the St. Louis Police Ethical Society was doing. He was a traditional black male. But if you look at the police, black police officers, even they themselves have been victims of driving while black,
mm-hmm.
or discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't suffering from racism and discrimination, Liz, why do you have a Black Police Officers Association? Why don't they join a white one if it's so great and pristine and pure? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because just by virtue of the fact that you got a black organization shows that there's racism and there's discrimination in promotion and the environment and everything else is going on that police department.
Mm. Thank you, Quincy.
All right.
Thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello. Let's see. Sorry to bring up the schools issue in this hour instead of the other hour, but I was at Jeff City yesterday, you know, when Kent King was giving the report to the State Board of Education.
Part of the report.
Right. Well, but they did all at least have the report in front of them, but certainly the it was very depressing to listen to, you know, his spoken words. A number of parents have not known how to contact the state board members, and I got from the secretary of the State Education Board her email address, which is a way to reach them, because the newest board member, Reverend Archie, I will say, given the fact that he was a blunt appointment, I was expecting the worst to come out of his mouth, but actually he was, you know, well, the most things that were, I thought, positive came out of his mouth.
Okay.
Would you like me to give the email address?
Of course.
Okay. So it's jeankujath@desi.mo.gov, and I'll spell that. So it's capital J E A N N E dot K U J A T H at D E S E dot M O dot G O V.
Very good. And she is the who?
The Secretary of the State Board of Education. So,
and do any of the actual board members have email addresses?
She didn't tell me that they had any, but it was, you know, I mean, everybody was wanting to talk to everybody, so she and I didn't have a long conversation.
Because I would be equally interested in getting the individual members' email addresses to be certain that information is forwarded on to them. You know what I mean?
Because this parent group. That's on Yahoo Groups that some people may already be on, which sends out many, many emails. But the email address of one of the board members was circulated on that.
Okay. That I think that would be this is helpful, but I feel more comfortable not putting anybody in a forwarding on position. Because we need this information to get straight to the board members and not rely upon somebody else to get it to the board members. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. But, I mean, right now I don't have the board members' address.
Right.
Well, I just have hers.
Okay.
And we do need to thank Reverend Archie for that. And just one quick point. The district-wide parent group of the St. Louis Public Schools has the formal position that any good ideas for improving education need to be put before the voters first. So if we go and contact people and say, you know, if something's such a great idea, then why don't you put it before the voters first? Anyway, that's one of the many thousands of strategies out there.
All right, Carol, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Sam.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I want to commend you, okay, for doing this for Jeremy. And I want the folks out there to understand one thing. Next month, when they have Martin Luther King's march from downtown or wherever they go to.
Oh, this is Saturday.
No,
I mean Monday, on Monday.
When February comes.
Oh,
make sure that they have pictures to carry of that young man.
Well, the Martin Luther King march is on Monday.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
To have pictures of Jeremy. So, because our mayor always wants to be a part of something when he's marching with us. I don't know if he gets to say anything down there at the Powell Symphony Hall place or where.
Well, he needs to just simply be booed.
Yeah. Well,
he just simply needs to be booed and boo him because if he has the nerve to show up at the Martin Luther King thing, he needs to be booed until you don't have any breath left. He needs to be booed.
Yeah. And the reason why I was saying that there, we always hear about the cops who lost the leg, got shot in the face over in Belleville, or a park that was named for the cop out in Kirkwood. Okay, but you know, that's the way our media does things. Now, they won't talk about the cops buying the drugs. They won't talk about the cops shooting a girl on a porch. They won't talk about the cop who shot his sister in the house because he said she pulled a gun. Or even the last one that you mentioned about the guttering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't talk about those things. But then again, you want to bring this to us every day? I don't want to hear it. If you can't balance that news, then don't do the news.
Thanks.
You have a nice day.
Thanks for your call, Sam. I am going to be speaking two different places. I'd like for you to put it on your calendar on the condition of public education in the city of St. Louis. I'm going to be speaking at the Julia Davis Branch Library on February 18th from 12 to 1 p.m. I really would like y'all to come out. I'm going to be talking about education, and I'm also going to be part of a panel. And I'm going to be speaking on the issue of addressing the aspect of education. And this is the issue that I will be speaking to. An onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary? And this is a forum that's going to take place on January 20th. That's a Saturday, from 1 to beginning promptly at 1 o'clock, ending at 2:30. I'm going to be on the panel. Bornita Carnute is going to be the moderator, and she's going to be the moderator. Bornita Carnute from Channel 2, Channel 2 news anchor, and Bert Schulte, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Education, Elementary and Secondary Education, will be on the panel. Also, Senator Rita Days will be on the panel. Also, Ron Jackson is supposed to be on the panel. And John Moten, also with the St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable, is supposed to be on the panel as well. Put this on your calendar. You don't want to miss this. And it's going to take place, again, from 1 to 2:30 at New Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church, 4700 West Florissant, corner of West Florissant and Shreve. That's on the 20th of January. That's a Saturday from 1 o'clock to 2:30, and I'm going to be speaking on, with respect to education, what is happening, an onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You want to be there. We're taking a break. Stay with me.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Please don't forget that there is a sale, a hometown sale at Sears, right at your hometown Sears at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. 6 months, no interest. No payments. How good of a deal is that? On all tractors with your Sears card. So, if you go down to Sears right now, they're having this fabulous lawn and garden closeout event. and you get one of these wonderful tractors that they're having on sale right now for $989.88, you get 6 months, no interest, no payments on your Sears card. Get on down to 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union, a wonderful hometown Sears sale taking place at your hometown Sears, 3425 Union. My name is Liz Brown. When you get down there, when you get to the hometown sale, tell them I told you to.
Good morning, Liz. This is Floyd.
Hi, Floyd.
How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You know, you have some good people on your show this morning to talk about this situation by the police shooting and the school board. But I want to go on the school board issue. You know, Ron Jackson is not one of my favorite persons on the school board because it was Ben Shaman who called black people the N-word. And it was also Francis Slade Raiders who railroaded Villa Verde through this town.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things that you talk about since 2003, things are not our school. Now the state will take over the school. And we got a mayor who's no good, and we got a man-child governor who is no good. What does that tell you?
Well, that no good can come of it?
No, but I tell you what, we're going to fight this thing, Liz, and we have to fight this thing.
Absolutely.
This is outrageous.
And Floyd, I really think that one of the ways that you fight something successfully is that you empower people with the reasons why they have to fight it. And this is always, this assault on the St. Louis Public Schools has always been about the money and the power of it. And when you look at what's happening, you have to ask the question, what's the rush? What is the rush? What's the push? What's the push? What's the push on this issue? And you look at, there's a lawsuit that the St. Louis Public Schools have filed to get the DSEG money. The state of Missouri owes the city of St. Louis tens of millions of dollars. Now, a lawsuit will only stay filed as long as there are attorneys representing the interest of that lawsuit. When Francis Slay's majority got on the board, they did not push this lawsuit. So what would save the state of Missouri tens and tens of millions of dollars that they're supposed to pay? From Matt Blunt's perspective, from Francis Slay's perspective, he can say, I'm going to save y'all this millions of dollars. Give me this. All they have to do is get that three-person board on, and then they put a stop to this lawsuit, and bam! Tens of millions of dollars
I think Dana Coleman did the right thing. I am so proud you have her on your show this morning.
Well, thank you.
And she is so proud of her. And I hope you have more people like Quincy Troop and them.
All right now, Floyd.
You have a good weekend.
Take care of yourself. You
bye-bye.
Too. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Chuck.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Great. Listen, I just happened to have been going by that area on December 29th between
the Army
12
where,
and 1.
Where
yeah.
Jeremy was murdered.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And, of course, I couldn't get through there because the three-wheelers, the traffic cops, had that area blocked off. They wasn't, you know, allowing traffic in that area. So I did inquire around and ask what happened up there. You know, and I've heard comments like people coming out barefooted, going and looking at what was going on and had noticed what was happening, that thing. You know, something else comes to mind, and perhaps a lot of us missed it yesterday. You know, this, I'm stepping a little bit away from it, this Bush thing and this surge now. I noticed yesterday how slanted the St. Louis papers are when it comes to people being killed in Iraq. On the Lear show yesterday, Channel 9, they published a picture of a major, Mavis Davis, killed in Iraq within the last week or two. She's from here.
Mm.
And nothing. I haven't seen anything or nothing.
Well, I'm going to do a Google search to see if anybody reported it, because they did have the one little baby from Ladue who was killed, the mm-hmm. only child. I think he was 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah.
They had pictures of his funeral. They had pictures, front page stories about his killing in Iraq. So I'm going to go. I'm going to take a look at Mavis Davis.
This is a black major.
Wow.
Mavis. Killed. Yeah, major.
Okay, what is Mavis? What's the name?
Mavis. M-A-V-I-S. Mm-hmm. Davis.
Okay, Mavis Davis. All
right. Right. That just astounded me how they didn't pick that up.
Let me do a Google search to see if there were any stories on that. But it's not about the crime. It's about who commits the crime. It's not about the victim. It's about what the victim looked like.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
All right now.
Thank you, dear.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. John.
Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Couple quick questions on the little boy that got killed, Jeremy.
Yes.
At the intersection, do they have the cameras on the signals in that area?
That I don't know, John. I don't know, but that's a very good question.
You know, and I heard the discussion this morning about how the shrine got messed up.
Burned up, torn down, destroyed.
Well, yeah, burned up. So, you know, because I finally got a traffic ticket from the camera. It's real fascinating. So I think that, you know, if there is in that area, they should be able to play that camera. And it should tell a lot of things.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
So I think you guys should check into that and see.
Absolutely.
And then on top of that, I wonder if the cameras also, if that's public information.
I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Yeah. So why don't you guys check into that? Because I'd be kind of curious to see what comes out of that. If there are cameras at that intersection, that'll tell the whole story about everything.
That's fact. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Don't forget, most of us have a 3-day weekend coming up. That includes me. I'll be on the air on Monday. Monday is Martin Luther King's birthday. It's a national holiday. There will be a community forum that takes place at right there at the corner of Union and Del Mar, the West End Community Center. It's taking place at noon, and it's about this issue of Jeremy being murdered and gunned down by the police. Unarmed child, 15 years old, born on January 9th, buried on January 9th. Now we have stories of gasoline being thrown on his memorial, teddy bears set on fire. People from the city of St. Louis that won't come down to cut the grass of LRA property lots. They won't come down and board up windows on their own raggedy LRA property. But they're coming down and bullying children and saying you can't put teddy bears up to commemorate the loss of life of a 15-year-old. And now, I also want you to feel this. This is the same administration that wants to control the St. Louis public schools. Does that tell you the contempt they have for children? Children don't have a right to grieve. Children don't have a right to put a teddy bear up to remember a child that was here for only 15 lousy years. A child who died face down in the mud. Hands outstretched. The last thought in his mind couldn't have been about his mama, couldn't have been about his daddy, couldn't have been about the people who he loved or who loved him. Because it happened too fast and it was too wicked. The last thought in the baby's head has to be terror. Because he was executed. Executed by the St. Louis Police Department. One cop. Who is being defended. And the city of St. Louis is saying, you can't put up no teddy bears. Coming into a black neighborhood where they don't police the streets. Where they don't put the block grant money. Where they eliminated the 20th Ward. And took away representation. Where there are no committees. In the Board of Aldermen, even though this is a 60% black city, there's not one single committee in the Board of Aldermen that is controlled by the votes of black people, thanks to Jim Shrewsbury. Where's Jim Shrewsbury been on this issue of the murder of Jeremy, of baby Jeremy? Was he at the funeral? No. I saw Lewis Reed at the funeral. I didn't see it. I heard Lewis Reed talk about, I know that Lewis Reed signed up and was one of the first names on demanding a civilian review board. I know Lewis Reed is asking for an investigation into this. Where is the president of the Board of Aldermen, the same place that this other man who hates the children in the city of St. Louis? Same place as with Francis Slay. Same place as with Francis Slay. Y'all need to get to me. You need to get to me big time. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ken.
Yeah, if you had cameras with a film that, you probably wouldn't see them anyway. You remember Jack in the Box?
They took it and never released it.
They never released it. They wouldn't release that either.
Mm.
See, in this country, these people are allowed to kill black people. If you ever see any black man ever kill white children, or shoot them down in the back, you would never see that in America. If you do, the black cop going to go to jail.
And be charged with murder.
That's right.
All right.
Going to jail.
All right. Thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Zach?
Oh, fairly fine, Liz. I want to give you an advance happy birthday to you, Liz.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to comment in regards to Jeremy and the Jeremys of the world, and more importantly, the United States, and how these rogue cops come out here, frame us up, and how our justice system support that frame up. I mean, it hurts to know that someone tells a lie on you and the prosecutor and the judges support that crap when it's apparent that they lied. And you have to fight literally for your life to try to get some sense of fairness, yet you're still subject to be incarcerated or, most unfortunately, killed by these guys. They come on the street, they terrorize. Liz, I had a gun pulled on me. I've been spit on. And even urinated on in my earlier days. And it never happened by a black person. It happened by rogue cops in St. Louis County. And there are many of us out here that can attest to these being officers present to us. And I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired of it. Be certified and get them out of our midst where they can't be copping at all in Missouri.
Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much business to tend to. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me. Mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on down to Sears, and right now we've got this hometown sale going on. 6 months, no interest, no payments on all tractors with your Sears card. They're having a lawn and garden closeout event. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Get your shop on. Take advantage of the hometown sale and tell them I told you to.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Real life, on the cutting edge.
It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
But I am speechless, speechless. That's how you make me feel. Though I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. So silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible. If God is on my side, when I'm with you.
All is possible. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake-Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Prince Carter, good morning.
Liz, has the police officer been identified yet?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I always say that
Burkamp. Burkamp.
It is often so crucial to expose this individual's identity.
Absolutely.
So that those that have had contact in the past can attest to the type of character that he's already had, because he didn't just become a killer cop. He's been leading up to this all along, and his comfort zone allowed him to go ahead and carry out the execution.
That's fact.
I hope and pray that the young brothers and sisters in that community don't fall into that trap to try to delay this process with the dismantling of the memorial. They often do that. Police officers, they did it with Garland Carter. In fact, then Chief Henderson had to go in his pocket and replace some things that were dismantled back then. So they do that to create a distraction. They're in a serious strategy mode right now. Their focus right now is to try to discredit people, try to figure out ways to intimidate folks. And people need to be mindful of that and need to prepare and not allow that to take place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Liz, from what I'm hearing on this case, it's cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's fascinating, Prince, that the once again, the one cop is involved in this. One cop.
Mm-hmm.
One cop. Not a whole bunch of cops that have to go to the scene.
And they don't even want to make an example out of him.
Well,
but
my point. My point is that he hasn't even done his police report.
Mm-hmm.
That is never done. That's the easiest police report to do. He hasn't done. They're having problems. They know that this.
No, Liz, that's not the fact. There's no problem in it. They're trying to.
It's a problem for them.
Get all the information from everybody else, so they can try to draft this up and fabricate theirs.
That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. They can't. Normally he would go ahead and write some.
Immediately after the incident.
Immediately after, even if it didn't fit the facts of the case, if nobody's paying attention to the case, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
If the facts don't fit it, because there's not going to be any trial on this. I mean, this is the type of case that once a police report is filed, it's done. What's the trial?
Mm-hmm.
So they're having problems. He cannot write this report because nothing that he can say can comport with the facts on the ground. Nothing that he can say.
So this late in the game, the prosecuting attorney office hasn't filed any charges.
The police report hasn't been filed. The police report has not been filed. No, they haven't.
Well, the prosecuting attorney's office have the ability and power to do their own investigation.
That's true.
If they're about upholding the law and doing what's right.
That's fact.
And based on the history of the St. Louis Police Department and police shootings, the prosecuting attorney's office has the power to step in and conduct their own investigation and file their own charges.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Again, Liz, to my young people out there that's listening, stay strong, stay focused, and don't let them get away.
That's fact. 1-877-920-WGNU.
Stay strong.
Payphone.
Don't let them get away.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
I would like to say again, and I said it once before, these are blue beasts in blue uniforms. I would like to say this here. My ex-wife, she used to be one of those persons at the police department that used to take the reports from these police officers. And she used to tell me that just how many times she would have to rewrite or try to help these guys out, because a lot of these police officers, they were illiterate to the point that they couldn't hardly spell.
Look, I've read enough police reports from illiterate cops. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen the reports. Yeah, there are a lot of them out there that don't know a verb from a noun. Cannot spell. I have seen that with my own eyes.
So you just bearing witness to what my wife was telling me, and it's been like several years ago. But anyway, I want to touch on this also, that this mayor, this fool of a mayor, he's going to be down at Martin Luther King celebration.
He should be booed until people get tired of booing.
You know what? And I agree. And I would be down there, and I would be one that would be booing him.
Absolutely.
The audacity for him to show up.
That's needs to be booed and booed and booed and booed and booed. And turn your back on him.
Absolutely.
When you see him, turn your back and boo until you get tired of booing. Everybody, when the moment that Francis Slay slithers up to any stage that has anything to do with Martin Luther King, every person in the audience, whether you black, white, whatever, you need to turn your back and boo, because he is the absolute antithesis. I mean, he is the absolute opposite of what Martin Luther King is.
Absolutely. And you know what, Miss Brown? If Jesus was alive and if Martin Luther King was present today, neither one of them would walk with this mayor, this president, any of them. The governor, you name them.
Jesus would walk into the mayor's office and tear it up like he tore up the temple with the moneymakers in it.
Yes, he would.
All right, now.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thanks for your call. And that's pretty much the extent of my biblical comparison. So I'm through. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. James.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, hey, Liz, how many times was that young man shot?
14 times.
14 times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty sad. Let me say this, though. I'm going to put a different spin on it. The same energy as your callers are calling in about regarding the shooting, I would like to see that same energy focus on the murders that's just taking place in our community.
Oh, wait a minute, James. Let's do a reality check, James.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's do a reality check on this. I have never seen any community, because every community has murders taking place in them. I will lay the record down of the African community with all of the vigils that they have held for murdered babies, for all of the take back our streets efforts that have been engaged in by black people, by the phone calls that black people have made time and time and time and time and time again to the police department to go get the people that have killed people in their community. I will lay our record down next to any community, all of the energy, the tears, the efforts, the phone calls, the flyers, everything that our community has done to respond to the crime that has been committed in our community by some people who've lived in that community.
And
so don't get it twisted.
No,
our community.
When you say,
I'd like to see folks expend the same energy, that does a disservice and tells a lie about the actions and the efforts that have been engaged in prior to what happened to Jeremy. That's what I'm responding to, James.
Liz, I agree with you 100%, but, you know, just like the young man, I think over on, it was in Walnut Park area, he got shot in the head twice sitting in his car.
Right.
You know, and what I'm saying, I agree with you, but you know what, with me, you know, I get, of course, when you perceive something to be wrong that the police does, it's your right to get out there and speak up, because you don't want that taking place in your community. But sometimes with me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and I get more upset when our own people do it to us.
Here's the thing. Again, I want to go back to what you first said. What
okay.
you first said sounded as if, or was making a statement.
I don't mean to make it sound
okay.
like that.
Because our community does respond to that. We
mm-hmm.
have to tell the truth about the things that our community does. We do respond to that, unlike any other community. Okay?
Okay.
And with respect to a police officer shooting, you know what? there will always be citizens that kill one another. There will always be that crime like that. Murder will always be with us. But when you have a institution whose job it is to protect us from that, or and to get the people who do commit those crimes, when you have an institution like that that targets us the same way as the law of the people outside of the institution do target us, I am more concerned about that, because we are not safe in any level when the institution is corrupt, rotten, and racist. And you've got to take care of the institution, because, quite frankly, a lot of people do commit crimes in the street because they in some neighborhoods, because they know they can get away with it in that neighborhood. Why do they know they can get away with it? Because the cops don't let them get away with it.
Very well put, Liz. Thank you.
All right, now, take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Dottie. Dottie. Yes.
Liz, you are so right. This, I mean, I'm turning my radio off because I don't even want to hear the backwash of this. You just, these people are calling in, and it's like they want to just hear themselves on the radio. They're not in touch with the real issues of what's going down here. I mean, Mokwa, he's constantly defending his officers.
Criminal officers.
Okay? He enslaved, I mean, these people, nothing really has changed. Here we come up to Martin Luther King, and our hearts and our souls are still hurting from white.
We have work to do.
That doesn't have to be.
Well, we have to. There's a lot we have to do, and we can't let these people get away with this.
That's right. And then these people calling in trying to sound like they really read a book or something. Don't they still know that there's still strange fruit on the tree?
There you go. Strange fruit was buried on January 9th.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, the previous guy before that guy. You're not listening. You must live in the county or something if you don't know that our people are holding vigilance in the streets and stuff like that.
More than any other community. Because our community is not the only community where there's been loss of life.
No, but everybody's out there crying and shedding tears and stuff.
And calling the police, and a lot of times the police ain't even responding to them.
Liz, I live North St. Louis, dead in the center of the war zone, right around Park and O'Fallon Park, okay? I'm out and about all the time. I never see any police until it's went down.
Mm. Thanks for your call. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Liz. My name is Mary, and I just want to say that I am just angry about what happened to Jeremy, but also I want to say it has been past time for us, even those of us who do not have children, to cover children in prayer. And not only that, to get together and pray and take this to the throne of God about what's going on, because I know he's real. He's not a figment of my imagination.
And once we do that, we need to get up off our knees and handle our business.
No, I was going to say, it's also physically.
That's
make
right.
Everything that we need to do
done.
To let physically and apparent to this regime that what they're
and
doing,
I gotta go.
I
gotta go. Thank you for your call. Don't forget the International Urban Institute.